James Roguski on Substack has been reporting on the so-called WHO pandemic treaty and its history. He has shown that its entire history is fraudulent and relies upon the people's silence. On June 14, 1948, President Truman signed a joint resolution to sign onto the WHO Constitution. Section 2 states that 3 U.S. delegates would be chosen by the president and confirmed by the U.S. Senate. But the Biden administration has sent U.S. delegates who have not been confirmed, which makes them fraudulent. Section 5 states that in adopting this joint resolution, the Congress does so with the understanding that nothing in the Constitution of the World Health Organization in any manner commits the United States to enact any specific legislation program regarding any matters referred to in said Constitution. And so the U.S. is not lawfully compelled by the WHO. On July 25, 1969, the 22nd Annual World Health Assembly adopted the International Health Regulations to ensure the maximum security against the international spread of diseases, but did so without a Senate vote.
The way they did that was with what they called the silence procedure. A bunch of unnamed bureaucrats agreed to that document. They gave a 9-month period for the leaders of all of the parties to reject it. And if no one rejected it on the first day of January 1971, it became legally binding. So any amendments go by that same adoption procedure. So in 2005, they made substantial changes. And for the last 18 or 19 years, we've been working off of the international health regulations as they were amended in 2005. I challenge anybody to look through the Federal Register or the Senate records to see if the Senate has ever given their consent, you know, 2/3, either in 1948, 1969, 2005, or in 2022.
On September 30th of 2022, 94 nations submitted more than 300 proposed amendments to the pandemic treaty. These documents were withheld from the public. And when James Roguski acquired copies, he discovered the reason for this was that the disputes were all based upon corrupt world leaders of smaller nations wanting a bigger piece of the action from the U.S. after realizing the billions of dollars being made by pharmaceutical companies.
This is organized crime, and the big crime bosses are being faced by a bunch of little crime bosses who want in on the deal. They want to be able to manufacture the drugs and jabs in country so that they can control it and, you know, inflict it upon their own population while basically profiting from the next pandemic.
And the proposed amendments to the 2005 IHR will bring this tyranny to its full potential. They want to create an international health regulations authority. They want the authority to declare a pandemic based on the mere potential for disease. They want the authority to compel new vaccines and quarantine for those who are not even sick. And they want to authorize surveillance and censorship to enforce their fraud. They also want to give nations the authority to quarantine and vaccinate foreign travelers at their own discretion.
They want to add strengthening language to enable nations to quarantine international travelers as appropriate. That is not an attack on national sovereignty. That is a ridiculous strengthening of national sovereignty that would enable each nation to abuse the rights and freedoms of foreign travelers. The local tyrants that abused your rights over the last 4.5 years didn't need any amendments or didn't need any treaty to do what they did over the last 4.5 years. So the core battle is still local.
You can find these documents at stopthetreaty.org and rejecttheamendments.com. They view our silence as consent, so we must stand against them and speak out. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
We're live. It's Thursday, May 2nd. James O'Keefe's coming up, and Dr. Robert Malone, and so much more. Stay with us. Back in 60 seconds. They just killed another Boeing whistleblower. He was in great shape, came down ill. and then died rapidly in the hospital. During depositions. I'm not laughing at his death. I'm just, this is getting so ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. It's 186 days, 12 hours, 52 minutes, 35 seconds to the most important election in world history. It is Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. I am your host, Alex Jones, and we've got another incredible transmission. I mean, all the broadcasts are important, informative, dynamic, absolutely on the pulse of what's really happening. Crew does a great job. The guests, the callers, everybody's wonderful. Today will be particularly powerful. James O'Keefe is going to be joining us coming up in the second hour with massive new developments since just about 19 hours ago. He broke that huge bombshell CIA coup against America story, and Congress has responded. All hell has broken loose. They are setting up hearings. I was on an interview last night with O'Keefe and also Congressman Matt Gaetz. We're going to air some excerpts of that coming up here in this hour ahead of O'Keefe. And then Dr. Robert Malone's never been on the show. He is the inventor of the original mRNA technology and been warning about it for many years because they did rat studies, others did, and found that it had a lot of really horrible effects. You couldn't even really call side effects. It could do wonders, things too, but not for a large percentage of people. So it's definitely us being treated as lab rats. He joins us in the third hour, and then the great Drew Hernandez in the fourth hour, ahead of the mighty Owen Schroyer, 3 p.m. Central today with the War Room, and of course Harrison Smith weekday mornings doing a fantastic job, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Coming on just before I do. Kind of your intro here, but he does his own great show. Here's the deal. I don't even know where to start. You know, for me, I really do understand geopolitical systems. I really have studied everything. I'm not a super expert on everything, but I am a generalist. I know a lot. I've absorbed a lot of information, a lot of factoids. I've lived a lot. I've experienced a lot. I've been taught a lot. And I've also had things revealed by God to me. Now, there's three ways to learn. Experience, or you can be taught, or it can be revelation. And I think we all get taught in those ways. And I know exactly what's going on with the clash of civilizations that has been started deliberately by the globalists in Israel and in Palestine, and with what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, and what's happening here domestically, and Biden officially announcing the plan to bring the refugees of Gaza here so they can continue the intifada. And you've got the left absolutely just super ultra anti-Jew. And then you've got the left also with the ADL saying all conservatives are secretly Hitler supporters, which is total crap. And you have the paradox of Biden in June of 2021 putting out the new national security directive saying the main threat isn't China, Russia, MS-13, fentanyl. None of that. The main threat is white supremacy. And then he defines white supremacy as questioning lockdowns, forced injections, open borders. They added to the list later questioning the Afghan withdrawal, basically questioning anything the criminal does. And so you really see the branding of this. You know why he sent $6 billion to Hezbollah to then fund Hamas, and the whole October 7th situation, and Israel really trying to put salt in the wound and saying we declared genocide, Amalek, and all of this to really get everybody stirred up and just have an explosion around the world of Jews being attacked. Most of them have nothing to do with the leadership in Israel. And then that will drive more of them to Israel. And then domestically, they'll pass laws taking everybody's free speech. But, of course, it'll all be selectively forced against conservatives. I mean, you can see it all. And it's not like I'm just interpreting all of this now. I mean, we could have the archivist. In fact, have the archivist do it, and then we'll air it tomorrow. But keep it below 10 minutes because he does such a great job. He was like an hour when I asked for him to get clips of where I say, oh, the Russians will invade by late February, and then they invade February 24th, or, you know, all that kind of stuff. I mean, I just really know what I'm talking about because I just rattled off a few dozen points. I could rattle off thousands right now. All the data set information that I bring in to tell you. But the globalists have been saying since the 40s when they created Israel, and the Rothschilds did, that they were going to use it as the detonator to bring in world government. And the Vatican's on board, and it's just all there. And whether you're a Muslim or a Jew or a Christian or a Hindu or a Buddhist, most people are not part of this, and there's real beefs on the ground and real issues going on, and the different sides doing bad things to each other and different sides doing good things to each other. But it is a global contrived crisis to bring in the world government. And you're supposed to pick a side in that collision. And I liken it to a chemistry experiment. And there's lots of chemistry experiments you can do that are not explosive, but still, you know, show you amazing things that happen when you combine certain things together. Two things, three things, five things, 10 things. Now that's really the ancient study of alchemy that developed into real chemistry and what we have today. What we could envision, we later actually figured out how to do. They can now turn lead into gold. It just costs a lot of money to do it, more than what the gold's worth. But I liken it to, if you're observing a chemistry experiment where they're putting four different ingredients together that then has a transformational event, and I'm simply above the experiment, and I'm pointing out there's these different ingredients being added, but there's an end development in the Hegelian dialectic politically that comes out of that. And I've studied the globalists and their plan and their whole operation, and it's crystal clear. It is a fascist world government that's above the law and tax exempt that then uses communism at the grassroots level with a technocracy enforcement system over it against the people. And it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Muslim or a Buddhist or a Christian or a Catholic. You are being targeted by this dehumanizing depopulation force. I mean, I've got a clip today that we'll play first of Larry Fink saying that the best societies are societies that are depopulated. It's an actual quote. The big winners are those with shrinking populations. They'll develop robotics, AI, substitutes for humans and machines, for machines. So he, just like Yuval Noah Harari or just like Klaus Schwab or Bill Gates, the future's not human, though those are actual quotes, they've all said it. And I'm here looking at the engineers above it in the laboratory combining the political and cultural and economic systems to bring us to where they want to go. And it doesn't mean in the real world you're not going to have Muslims killing Jews and Jews killing Muslims and this tribe killing that tribe. And all of that's very real. And humans are designed to be down here at the grassroots level and to see the racial collision, black against white, white against black, gay against straight. We see all that. It's the broken coalition strategy the Democratic Party implemented publicly in 1993. It was a Clinton CIA plan. It's declassified. It's public. And it was to create so many different groups and then have them all fight with each other. That's how the British, with 10,000 troops on average for hundreds of years, controlled India. That had hundreds of millions of people even back then, over 100 million. How did 10,000 troops control them? Well, they had sociologists there, and that's what they were. They studied the tribes. They didn't call it sociology then. Who knew how to play the groups off against each other? They called it the Great Game, or Balkanization, from the Balkans, where the European powers played similar games as well. Or how did the Chinese get captured by the British? Well, the British went in and divided different groups against each other, and also shipped in opium to control the criminal networks. So that, and the Boxer Rebellions came out of that. I mean, this is the Great Game. This is big boy time. Okay. This is where the adults that have real discussions about the world are. And that's why the globalists want me off the air. It's why they demonize me. It's why they lie about me. It's why they attack me. Because I'm trying to pull back the curtain like in The Wizard of Oz. I'm just Toto. And it's not a big, giant, floating head. I'm all powerful. Nothing you can do can stop me. If you just actually study how this works, you will then understand it and you will know it and you will be able to deal with it. It's that simple. But I also have to communicate with people in words they understand. You know, back in the mid-90s and early 2000s, I was even involved with some folks who were able to buy a cache of 1-watt FM transmitters out of Eastern Europe that had actually been shipped over there during the Cold War to fight the Russians. And I, to listeners, sent them out to thousands of people, and hundreds of people put them up on open band, you know, areas. And we go out 3-4 miles with 1 watt. You put it into a 100-watt amplifier. People could get it 20 miles away, depending on how high your tower was. It had a huge effect. But they would get mad at me because I used the term pirate radio instead of micro transmitting, because they didn't like the term the FCC used, pirate. Well, new listeners didn't know what micro FM was So I had to call it pirate radio. So, yeah, I'm the guy that coined the term left-right paradigm. We had to get out of the left-right paradigm because the left and right all over the world were being controlled by the globalists to a great extent. But we did see populist movements in the last 20 years, the Tea Party and others, getting more and more beachhead areas in conservative movements and actually unseating the neocons, the rhinos, and the Tories, and you know the fakes. That's why there's a war against the Republican populist movement now, because it's actually a good overall populist movement. It's not perfect. So that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. And I really do want to beat the technocrats. I really want to expose their post-human plan, their societal collapse plan. And to do that, I've got to expose how bad it is and how evil it is and how destructive it is and how it gets incrementally worse, that accelerates off the edge of a cliff, which we've basically reached. But we've also got to then describe, because humans build what they envision, a better system, a plan B. And I'm not saying as a social engineer, which I'm not, what that plan should be. I would like to have a large debate about what alternate societal systems could be, because there is no system challenging the globalist liberal New World Order system other than the Russians, and they've got their own problems. The Communist Chinese are another version of it that just broke away, another technocracy just led by a strong man in a communist party. So whether it's the WF or the Communist Chinese, they're basically following the same blueprint. They're just two different groups now at certain levels opposing each other, at other levels not. And then you've got inside the European, you know, U.S. globalist axis, you've got the central bankers that are the most powerful group in the world and that control the what is known in the Russian parlance as the Anglo-American establishment. That's what Putin calls it. It's what Alexander Dugin calls it. That always upsets the people that are simply obsessed with, you know, talking about Jews all day. It doesn't just mean white people. It's the name of the British Empire merging with the American Empire in the 1920s, and what Winston Churchill called it in his 3-volume set, History of the English-Speaking Peoples. That's why anyone who's actually a true geopolitical intellectual will address the Western power bloc as the Anglo-Americans or the Anglo-Saxons. It doesn't mean who even is captaining it or in charge of it, people like Larry Fink. It's simply the name used by the Chinese and by the Russians and by any historian, and what the globalists call their power structure itself. So that very power structure then tells you, even though it's the Anglo-American establishment, that white people are inherently the most evil thing on the planet. Well, that's because they don't like the old Western system of the Renaissance that challenges their hegemonic total rule. So they know the world's 93% non-white, so they organize everyone in a political system to hate white people and then accept the globalist model in the name of that, as if that's liberal. Then they can get rid of any middle class or any due process or any of the vestigial freedoms that people fought to secure. The idea that made America great, the American dream, the best house in a bad neighborhood, but certainly the most successful country in human history, because a few major reforms were actually deployed and realized that were in the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights that followed. So that's where we are. And I'm sorry for a lot of the general public that's just now starting to wake up. And you tune into this show and you go, what is this guy talking about? This isn't fake intellectualism that you get from a Ben Shapiro. And I don't even say that to be mean, but that's not real understanding, okay? And in fact, there's almost no one out there doing a full spectrum analysis broadcast like this other than Tucker Carlson. And, you know, Joe gets it on many levels now and is doing a good job. But then you hear somebody like Dugin, or you hear somebody like Putin, and people are like, my God, this sounds like Alex Jones from 20 years ago. What is this? That's a real reading of the history. And the Russians recognize that and are trying to pull away from that. That's why they're the big enemy, along with the American people. Traditionalist American people are slated for total destruction. And so we should stand up for ourselves as Christians and as white people. It's not bad when you're being told you're evil because you're white to say, no, white people are good. We have an incredible history. We're the ones that tried to end slavery worldwide, had the greatest effects. And on average, we've done spectacular things and celebrate other cultures and what they've done. But when you give in to the ADL guilt, you give in to the ADL mindset, You then let them control everything that you're supposedly supposed to do to now prove that you're a good person now because you're guilty of being white or being Christian. So you reject that, but you don't get down on the ADL's race level, and you understand what they're doing to consolidate power and control, and the groups they manipulated into hating you because you're white. If you simply attack them back at that level, that will build the racial divide even greater and cause more disunity, which groups like the CIA, the Carnegie Endowment, and the ADL control. So now let's move on to the big enchiladas here today. First off, I read the bill last night, and it passed by a giant majority in the House. It is an absolute repeal of the First Amendment. And it ends the bill by saying this does not repeal the First Amendment because it's all a lie. It has an international group that the EU's adopted law from that defines what anti-Semitism is, and it's completely open-ended. And they say in the bill, and this group will now change the definition and will adopt whatever their new definition is. So that it's a new Congress. This Holocaust group in Europe is like our new Congress. And it will just have a blank check now as a fourth branch of government to run education, run everything, as their own little leftist children run around screaming death to America and communism's great and breaking windows out and beating people up, and then other people go beat them up, and then, oh, my God, you know, again, it's the dialectic. And notice, you don't hear Benjamin Netanyahu or any of these groups when they talk about this. Or Mayor Adams. Mayor Adams is like, there's very powerful, wealthy groups funding these riots. Oh, George Soros, your boss. So it is a dialectic manipulation, and it's going to catch everybody in its snare. And there's one thing I agree with in this legislation, but you have to throw it all out because any part of it takes over the First Amendment. It says it's anti-Semitic to say that Jews all operate as one complete unit, like the thing, and they're all, you know, Nazis or something. But that's people's free speech to say that if they want to. And then how does the ADL that openly teaches to law enforcement and colleges, they set the parameters, and the spinoff groups in Europe do the same thing, that it's inherently bad and that white people are inherently guilty? Well, don't you understand that when you teach the world that's 93% brown or black, that white skin is inherently evil, even if you tell them, oh, but Jews are white, but we're different, and then Jews tend to be successful on average, that now you are identified as white, and you're identified as the most powerful whites. But see, the ADL knows that. They set this up, and I'm telling you, because I've been all over the country, and years ago I used to go speak at colleges everywhere, and I've done a few years of college, found it to be worthless. It was the most anti-Israel. And I mean, I would be in a science class, and the teacher would be up there, the instructor, talking crap about Israel. I would be in a math class, they'd be talking crap about Israel. And I'm just like, and people are like, oh, see, you love Israel. No, I'm sick of hearing about it. I'm like 18 years old sitting there in community college, and I'm like, half my classes are running down America and white people, and it's white professors, some of them were Jewish, strangely enough, one of the most outspoken against Israel. I'm a Jew, and I hate Israel, and it's apartheid, and it's Nazi, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, hey, I thought I was here for a Texas history class that's, you know, they make you take your first year in college. Texas history class. And there's Jewish guys up there half the time talking crap about Jews. I mean, it's just like, I'm here to learn about Texas history, not about Palestine. Oh, but that's all that matters, Palestine. I'm like, what about 22 million dead from the shot? Shut up, you're coming up from Israel. What about hundreds of thousands of Sentinel deaths? Shut up, come up from Israel. I posted a video today of a dancing bear, which is cute and funny, on my X account. Boom, boom, boom. Not talking about the Jews. You'll talk about anything but the Jews. Exactly. Exactly. If I'm in a UFC fight, I'm not sitting there thinking, Jews. Or if I turn on an old Western, Jews. Or if I go take a dump, Jews. Or I cook a dinner, I'm Jews. Or I pat my daughter on the head, Jews. Or I go to the grocery store, Jews. Or I go to church, Jews. It's Jews, 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 Jews. And it's sick. And then you've got the whole Zionist lobby and all the flavors of that loves it, because it'll make all the Jews move to Israel and they can be the victim and then launch all the wars they want. They ain't going nowhere. And that's why the ADL and others have been caught creating fake Nazi groups over and over again. Look up the history. They've been caught repeatedly. So there are evil, manipulative mafias coming out of Israel. And I've said that many times. But every time I expose fairly that a lot of these governments are doing really corrupt, evil things, like they all are, plus it's like Bukele or somebody. I haven't found any fault with Bukele in El Salvador. But it's just like, they actually say in here, too, about the anti-Semitism, ascribing, like, supernatural powers to Jews, and Jews are everything, and everyone's a Jew. So, see, I have mixed feelings about all this, because I see stuff doing that I criticize in Israel and made films about USS Liberty and, you know, Israeli involvement, CIA involvement, 9/11. People are like, why is Jones covering this now? Our pressure made him do it. Yeah, your pressure when you were in diapers. I was exposing this 20-something years ago, and it's disingenuous. It's vitriolic. It's tribal. So the Jews are acting tribal. The anti-Jews are acting tribal. There's all the weird flavors of that, and it is disastrous. And then I read this bill, and it's so horrible. I mean, I have trouble even believing they passed this. And if implemented, it ends the First Amendment. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back. We're going to get into that. Then James O'Keefe on the huge CIA coup against America bombshell, and just so much more. We've got a huge broadcast. Dr. Robert Malone coming up as well today. Infowars.com/show. Stay with us. So let's have a logical discussion for some of the hardheads out there that don't understand what I'm saying, because it's really important people understand this. And there's no way I'm wrong. It's a fact. 37,000 dead in Gaza. 60-70%, the numbers vary, women and children. That's terrible. And Israel is indiscriminately bombing many of them, and I've said that's wrong. I've said it's genocide, it needs to stop. I've also said it's wrong that I'm spending 30% of our time on this when we have 22 million dead now in major insurance actuaries. It's all over the news now. It's mainstream news that people are dying in mass of turbo cancers, heart attacks, myocarditis, strokes, and it's admitted it's the shots. And the same group's trying to pass a UN World Government Treaty right now. Now, 22 million dead and dying, and more dying, versus 37,000. And I say that, and I put the clip out, and a third of the people on X say, how dare you cover up for the Jews? That's an illogical discussion. We're all being hit with a poison shot. They're trying to pass a world treaty to take over our bodies and have a world ID. I've got a stack of mainstream news where they're announcing that right now. The digital shackles, your car's remote control, geofencing and everything. Turning your car off on the weekend. That should unify all of us to say no to the UN, no to BlackRock, no to Larry Fink, and just move past the distraction of going, Larry Fink's a Jew, look, a Jew runs it. I don't care if the guy's got purple skin. I am absolutely against him, and I'm against his policies. They want to catch us up in that and only talk about that so we can't just unify everybody against whoever's running it. Xi Jinping, Larry Fink, Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates. Imagine Bill Gates went, I'm a white guy. I'm a Protestant. Why are you attacking Protestants? You'd be like, that's a diversion. We're not attacking Protestants. We're attacking you because you're attacking us. Have a logical discussion. I'm not saying don't spend some of your time saying we need to stop this war. But also, Soros is funding all the Islamicists and all this anti-Semitic stuff because that's his job, and they're going to bring all these Muslims here and get all these new congressional seats with communist Muslims that hate America. So I'm against them. You know, Israel, they're so evil, we won't take them, but you need to take them. No, you need to take them, Israel. You decided to move over there and set all this up and do all this crap. You keep them. See? It's like if I lived on a block. This is my house, my country. I got neighbors down the street that hate each other. They want to kill each other. Go ahead and do it. Don't you drag me into it. Got it? But if they want to put a 5G tower up in the middle of the cul-de-sac around our houses, we should all get together and say, we don't want your 5G. That's a microcosm of what I'm saying. Go knock on your neighbor's door. Hey, they're going to put a 5G tower right there. We should sign a petition, get involved with the community board, with the Homeowners Association, refuse that the Homeowners Association board is doing a deal to put five 5G towers up in the neighborhood and raise hundreds of thousands of dollars. They don't need hundreds of thousands of dollars. We already pay our dues. Let's refuse the 5G. That happens everywhere. Go knock them. It's a black guy. Well, you're white. I'm not going to work with you. But all of us are going to get hit by 5G. Go knock on another door. I'm a liberal. You're a conservative. I'm not going to work with you. You knock on some Palestinian's door. Oh, I saw you. You know, you're against open borders, so I'm not going to work with you. It's idiocy, people. They're coming for our bodies. They're coming with the drag queen pedo time for our children, the transgenderism. They're attacking everybody. They say a post-human world with depopulation. I'll play the clip in a moment. That's the big enchilada. It's the big assault. And literally, all the oxygen's being sucked out of the room. Is the CIA and the Carnegie Endowment, the ADL, know what they're doing, and Soros is their boy. And you've got the very same universities that are like 90% pro-Ukrainian war, who then separately, though, want to nuke Russia, but, oh, they love the Palestinians at the same time. They're not even congruent. And I see the demonstrations in the U.S., Europe, Canada. They're pulling down at churches, signs in the at the church. They're going to parks where Christians are handing out free food to homeless and pulling down their signs and calling police on them just because they're Christian. Literal Muslims stomping around, going and telling Jews, oh, you've got a Jewish last name. You can't come in the university. That's already federal law. That's discriminatory, and it is, and you shouldn't be allowed to do it. And people that get together and block people from going to where they've paid to have education should be arrested for violating people's civil rights, and they should be kicked out of the university. We don't need a law that gets rid of the First Amendment, but that's what Israel wants. That's what the ADL wants. And the Israel lobby has been lobbying to pass hate speech laws with the left to take conservative speech and have said we're the main enemy, though it's mainly conservatives that are out mindlessly defending Israel and whoever's in power there. See, none of it lines up logically. And I'm looking back at it logically, saying America first, that's what I've stood for 30 years. I don't hate Israel. I don't hate the Palestinians, but it's their fight, not mine. I agree with Senator Paul, cut all the money off. No money to Ukraine, no money to Hamas, no money to Israel, no money to any of them. What did George Washington say? No foreign entanglements. Then we had the Monroe Doctrine. And then by the War of 1898, the Spanish-American War and the sinking of the Maine and Havana Harbor and all the rest of it, we became an empire. And how has that turned out for us? Our wealth stolen, parlayed into globalist world government. So that's where I'm at. And I want to have a big tent. If you're a Muslim and you want to be an American and assimilate and stand up for our freedoms, open arms. If you're a Jew, same way, open arms. If you're an agnostic and you're a capitalist and into freedom and don't want to take my rights, then I welcome you with open arms. But we've got the left trying to take our free speech. We've got Israel trying to take our free speech and saying a foreign Israeli-controlled foundation will control policy and free speech in America? This is insane. And then I look at the X account because it's very informative. I love the comments and I respond to a lot of them. I'm addicted to it. My wife says, stop it. And I try to go logically and explain to people in there, do you understand I don't like expansionist Orthodox Islam? It's not compatible. And they also vote communist and left. And I also don't support the Zionist state of what Israel's become, which it's manipulating our politics, trying to take our rights. And so I must oppose what Israel's doing, and it's disgusting and it's wrong, but I'm not gonna get down on the level of posting, you know, memes of Jews with giant noses and stuff. Israel and its lobbies trying to take my rights and my freedom, and with the Obama administration, that's what we have, is the third Obama administration, is trying to say Christian conservatives are white supremacist terror threats. That is horse crap. And what's happening is people are either becoming totally mindlessly pro-Israel or they're becoming right out Hitler supporters. And that is what the globalists want, a big mindless fight so they can roll out the GMO, the 5G, the poison shots, all the rest of it. So I'm going to say it again. There is a war on humanity, a war on our genome, a war on our life, a war on our health, a war on our longevity, on all of us. And look, the anti-white war is very real when you're 20-1 white being attacked by blacks. But most blacks aren't involved. It's a very tiny minority of 13-to-20-year-old black males that have been told whites are the devil and told by the new Black Panther Party, go out and rob and kill whites. But still, that little group is half the violent crime in America. I don't hate blacks because of it. I say, do something about them. That small group. I've got an article right here where a felon charged 105 times for all sorts of robberies and crimes, let out again by a Soros judge, and is now kidnapped and raped an Amazon driver. I mean, that's Soros. They know what they're doing. We'll be right back. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with me. Sometime early next week, I'm going to give you an update on the state of InfoWars. It's a big deal, and I want to be extremely accurate. But InfoWars could be shut down, I mean, off the air within 2 months. I'd give it about a 50-50 chance. And obviously, they won't be able to stop me being on air. And I will still be on air. Really, they just give the crew a bloody nose. And I will try to work with folks to get the crew back. But the new system that will be developed will not be owned or run by me. And then that, the reason for that is obviously they won't be able to stop it or take it over. And there's a lot of different things we can do. But I'm leaving all that until... putting all the energy in to save this operation, and then when that fails, we'll be able to very quickly decide what our path's going to be. There'll kind of be a scramble at that point, but I will not be stopped. And I thank you all for your support. In the meantime, if you want to keep us on air, it is beyond essential that you go to InfoWarsStore.com and get the amazing products. But it could, and everything's in stock. Everything ships within a day or two. If you order on a Friday night, you know, you don't get it till, you don't ship till Monday. But if you order on a Monday, they usually ship it Monday or Tuesday. I mean, we have really good shipping. It was really good until a few years ago. Got bad for a while. The last few years, really gotten good, as you know. And just amazing products at InfoWarsStore.com. Like Nitric Boost that everybody should be taking that cleans out the blood and the cardiovascular system and all the stuff that's going on right now. That's so critical. That's 40% off. Ultimate Fish Oil, the strongest, highest quality grade fish oil. It's not been pasteurized. So it hasn't been boiled. So it's real fish oil. Potent fish oil. It's 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And the books, the films, the T-shirts. This will be your last chance to talk about an OG InfoWars t-shirt because it'll be the website, it'll be the show, it'll be everything I've built in 30 years gone. So want to support us, now is the time. And InfoWarsStore.com. And separately, going on in the future, my dad set up DrJonesNaturals.com with a lot of great supplements and products, and he is a supporter of free speech systems in this operation, but also a supporter of what we're doing, and in the future, a supporter of whatever comes out of this. So I hope you go to DrJonesNaturals.com and get Next Level Foundational Energy. There's nothing else like it. Again, it's not a stimulant. It's the energy of the cells. It cleans them out. It's what they operate on. And then all the other things that you're using for energy just get boosted with it. It's if you do one thing, go get Next Level Foundational Energy discounted at drjonesnaturals.com. And there's also a Rocket Rest, Top Brain, and a lot of other spectacular products there on the site at drjonesnaturals.com, like the Nano Silver toothpaste, super blue, also fortified with iodine, tea tree oil, and so much more fluoride-free. Just dozens and dozens of amazing game-changing products at DrJonesNaturals.com. So if you want to support us, go to DrJonesNaturals.com and get great products. At the same time, I am in your hands. This operation is in your hands. So I ask you to go to DrJonesNaturals.com and InfoWarsStore.com today. But those limited edition t-shirts and all the stuff that's at InfoWarsStore.com as early as 2 months from now. So in fact, a little bit closer than 2 months, they're going to shut this down, all right? And next week I'll do a whole hour on it, and I'll explain it all to you. And, I mean, I can do it right now. I've got all the facts, but I want to lay it out. I'm going to write some notes and just really explain everything, because you deserve to know. Everybody deserves to know. The crew deserves to know. You know what's happening, why it's happening, and you know, what's going on. But the truth is, the CIA and the FBI ran the operation to bring this place down, and they don't want to settle. They don't want, you know, they've said, we want to silence you. And so that's what they're going to do, just out of pure rage, just shut it down. And so, okay, you know, I my hands are clean, and I've done everything I could to be faithful to the crew and the audience, and I love this operation, but that's just where we're at. And so understand that we could have an InfoWars wake here in about 7.5 weeks. And then there'll be a little wind down. I mean, it could be 3 months, 6 months, but that's even if some certain things happen. So that's where we're at. But, you know, we've got a lot of other big issues to face, obviously. This is just par for the course when you go up against the FBI and the CIA. But we've already done so much damage to the New World Order. Everything else is gravy. 30 years, spectacular effects. I love when people come up and say, why don't you cover this? Why don't you cover that? And it's stuff I broke 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 10 years ago. And I'm looking at them telling me I should cover Bohemian Grove or the private Federal Reserve or the Franklin cover-up or whatever it is. It's some moral thing they do. And like, no matter what the topic is, this broadcast with our guest, our great audience magnifying it, put basically everything on the map. I mean, we stood on the shoulders of all these great people before us. I don't even take the credit. It's this operation. But, I mean, we are the sword that got stuck right in the heart of the New World Order. I mean, we wounded them mortally, and they know it. And it was all God doing it through myself, the listeners, and the crew, and everybody else. So I just totally trust in God. And I know every time horrible things happen, bigger doors open. And so I trust in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and that's where I'm at. I want to thank you all for your support over the years. We have fought really, really hard. And if we were like a ship in a battle, it's like we've been in 5,000 battles and, you know, sunk 50,000 enemy ships. I mean, the lore itself is insane. And it's really the crowning achievement in a sick way. And I don't want that to happen. But striking us down is like Obi-Wan Kenobi. We just come back more powerful than you could possibly imagine. But that's what evil can only think one step ahead. You know, I mean, in its instincts, it thinks way ahead. But when it's got a chance to hurt something, it also can't help it. So it's kind of paradoxical how it works. So, James O'Keefe's coming on at the bottom of the hour. He just called us and had to move it back 30 minutes. That's fine, because I'm a little behind, too. I really want to read you the bill that they passed. And it's a short bill, and it's a horrible bill. And then I wanted to show you the group that runs it, and it gives this foreign Jewish organization in Europe and Israel complete control over free speech in the colleges in America. I mean, that's not an understatement. I know that sounds insane. It sounds wild. It is a foreign power taking over America, and it's Israel basically doing that, using the leftist George Soros funded to do it. So it's terrible. So I hate what Israel's doing to us, and I hate the little minions of Islam they're using. They've stirred up like a bee hornet, they've stirred up the beehive, and then like a cartoon thrown in our backyard. Here, and here comes a million refugees. Ha-ha! And I'm supposed to go, oh, I love you, Israel. Thank you so much. And then, like, all the Nazis are running around lying and exaggerating and freaking out and just spewing BS as well and worshiping Hitler. And I'm just like, my God. I'm stuck between insane Zionist and Hitler lovers. And I'm just like, good. Meanwhile, the world government's rolling out to kill everybody. And 22 million are dead from poison shots. 80% of women that take the shot have miscarriages. Like, shut up, Jew lover. And I'm like, please, more shots are coming. UN treaty, 5G everywhere, GMO, we're all dying. My God, the life expectancy is plunging. What are we going to do? They're like, shut up, Jew, shut up, Jew, shut up, Jew. And I'm just like, holy hell, you people are crazy. The Nazis, the Zionists, you're all the Islamic lunatics, just you're lunatics. Just keep, fine, drink your fluoride, take your shots. Jesus, just stay out of my way, man. I don't want to be part of your crap, your weird cults. It's gangs, folks. Like, you better join the Crips or the Bloods. Well, I think you should stop killing each other. Oh, you're with the Crips. No, you're with the Bloods. The Crips accuse you with the Bloods. The Bloods accuse you with the Crips. You're like, I ain't in your club, man. I wouldn't join any club that would have me. I think Charlie Chaplin said that. All right, so I didn't get to it. I'm going to start the next hour. I got Larry Fink. My God, I could talk 5 hours about this. He just says, yeah, the best societies are depopulating. We're going to depopulate everybody. Of course, that's totally it. He goes, so robots take over. He says the future's not human. In fact, get me the Yuval Noah Harari. He says future's not human. And some of those clips, too. I mean, you can read him saying it everywhere, but It's just like, wow. Wow. Why would anybody go along with this? Why would anybody be part of this psychotic operation? And I'd just like to clear all this out and say, I don't care if you're Chinese or if you're Mexican or if you're German. Can we all just come together and just say, let's not do this? You have the world ruling class all meeting, Arabs, Europeans, Jews, Chinese, and they're just talking about how they're going to kill everybody. And we're just sitting here. And again, Netanyahu works with Soros, folks. They're running all these groups. And you're like, well, what does that mean? Well see, it means it's all controlled. The only way to win the game is not to play. Remember the movie in the 80s, War Games? A Strange Game.
A Strange Game. The only way to win is not to play.
But I get it. A lot of you want to play, and that's why you're going to get run over. All right, ladies and gentlemen, by the New World Order. We're going to start the second hour, and I've read this bill twice. I read it again this morning. It's just spectacularly bad. I mean, it's so over the top. And they voted 320-91 to pass it. You know it's going to pass the Senate. And it gives a blank check to a multinational group in Israel and Europe to run every educational thing in America and arrest everybody. All right, some stations don't carry this first five, so I'm going to wait to get into the bill until next segment. But I think I'll play a little short three-minute clip of Congressman Chip Roy, who did a, you know, okay job. He doesn't hate Israel. I don't hate Israel, too. But he explains why he's voting against the bill, knowing full well he's going to have the Israeli lobby come down on him with both feet. And he just said, this is, you know, it's got some really dangerous anti-free speech stuff in it. Here he is.
But here's the thing. Yet again today on the floor of the House of Representatives, we had another show vote to make people feel good about themselves by passing a bill that says anti-Semitism in the title. That's what happened. And it was put on the floor by Republican leadership. And it was put on the floor by Republican leadership despite knowing that it was pulled from going through committee. We didn't have a chance to amend it. We didn't have a chance to discuss it, to debate it. We didn't have a hearing on it. It was jammed through to take advantage of this political moment while all of these horrific things are going around the country. Republican leadership wanted to score political points, so they moved through legislation without the kind of deliberation, debate that is supposed to be carried out by the people in this chamber. As a result, today, a significant number of my Republican colleagues, including myself, voted no. As a result, we will be accused of, I don't know, being for anti-Semitic behavior, being accused by our friends and allies of not wanting to support Israel, supporting our Jewish American colleagues and friends, constituents, fellow Americans. Nothing can be further from the truth, but that's what will happen. And it'll happen because we dared to stand up and say, we don't believe in thought police. We don't believe that a bill should be brought to the floor of the United States House of Representatives, having not gone through committee, that has a reference in it to international organizations' definitions, literally in the statute, and then taking that international organization's definition, and then literally in the statute, representing and referencing the examples of anti-Semitic behavior. Now, I find the vast majority of the things that were listed in that to be horrific activity, most likely, if not certainly, anti-Semitic, at least in most contexts. Some of them are problematic. In totality, they certainly raise First Amendment concerns. They certainly raise concerns about something that I've opposed to the best of my knowledge and ability, reading through pieces of legislation at every turn, in every vote, to oppose the whole notion of hate speech, hate crimes, thought police, thought crimes, putting the government into your head and your motivations when you're engaged in criminal behavior. criminal behavior is criminal behavior. Violating people's civil rights is violating people's civil rights. But when we want to insert the government into what you're thinking and what motivates you, you are empowering that which should never be empowered. The ability of the government to police thought, to police speech, to police your views, not the views that carry out then the actions. The actions are the problem. Police the actions.
Very well said, and we're going to show you the bill for yourself coming up in 60 seconds. They say a bunch of stuff that's illegal that you shouldn't be doing, keeping Jews out of college, beating people up. Okay, yeah, that's illegal already. Then it's a bunch of stuff that's not illegal now, they're making illegal, mixing it all together and making a foreign group in control and saying whatever their definition is, we'll put in charge of education and Title VI and all the rest of it. Super dangerous. I mean, over the top. We'll be right back. All right, so Larry Fink was speaking at another World Economic Forum globalist event, a world government summit, that's what they call them. And he says the big winners are those with shrinking populations. They'll develop robotics, AI, substitute humans for machines. Oh, it's good to not have enough people. It's good to collapse society. That's what's happening. We're all being hit by it. The UN treaty to take over our bodies. Let's go ahead and play the clip from Larry Fink, who controls 80%+ of world assets. Here he is.
I could argue in the developed countries, the big winners are countries that have shrinking populations. Okay, that's something that most people never talked about. You know, we always used to think shrinking population is a cause for negative growth. But in my conversations with the leadership of these large developed countries that have xenophobic immigration policies, they don't allow anybody to come in, shrinking demographics, these countries will rapidly develop robotics and AI and technology. And if the promise, I didn't say it's going to happen, but if the promise of all that transforms productivity, which most of us think it will, we'll be able to elevate the standard of living of countries, the standard of living of individuals, even with shrinking populations. And so the paradigm of negative population growth is going to be changing. And the social problems that one will have in substituting humans for machines is going to be far easier in those countries that have declining populations. And so for those countries that have rising populations, the answer will be education, and so rapidly develop. You know, for those countries that do not have a foundation of rule of law or education, they're going to be left. That's where the divide's going to get more and more extreme. And unfortunately,
and they're forcing that divide. And all the actuaries on population, look at China. They have now begun to decline. India has surpassed them. They had a one-child policy. Now Xi Jinping's begging people to have three children. Things are falling apart. They admit that. And so it's not good. And all this technology and all this is not raising standards of living. In fact, they tell you under the Great Reset, their plan, you will own nothing and you will be happy. You will live in a 200-square-foot coffin apartment bathed in 5G eating bug protein. But there's Fink lying to you. Well, he's got 15 private jets and giant palaces everywhere and... But you can't have anything. You can't drive your car on the weekend because the computer program in it isn't going to let you start it. That's gone from me warning of it years ago to being official now. Incredible. Now, getting back to this legislation, earlier you just joined us. I played a clip of Congressman Chip Roy saying, look, there's a lot of stuff in this legislation. They passed 320-91 in the House yesterday, set to pass the Senate. And it's not just a, quote, feel-good bill, like he said. If implemented, and the White House says they will, over the Department of Education, it puts a foreign multinational NGO of the UN out of Israel and Europe in control of the policy and says not only their current definitions, but when they change it, that will be law. So it's saying it's like a blank check veto to control legislation. It's like a new Congress over speech and over all the educational systems of primary school and secondary. It's staggering. So I've read the bill twice just to make sure I was seeing what I was seeing. But I saw Chip Roy and others, and even Nadler didn't vote for it, saying that we can't have foreign governments running our policy, and we can't. This is too broadly defined. It gets rid of free speech. Wow, Nadler is now, who's usually totally anti-free speech for conservatives. So this is a big deal. So here's the headline: House passes anti-Semitism bill as Johnson highlights campus protest. Okay, that's a CNN overhead shot, please. Now, moving on to the legislation itself, and again, maybe we have a computer problem or something, but I want to get an overhead shot of this. Sometimes our cameras freeze up. I think that's happened. Well, they just since they're broken, camera's broken? It is broken. Sometimes it just glitches and won't switch. We'll pull up H.R. 6090 for you because I want to be able to show you this. This is a big deal. I want you to be able to see this for yourself. Yes, there it is. So let's start going through HR 6090, and now the computer, for whatever reason, has stopped having a heart attack or a brain fart, and it's back. So here we go. Overhead shot, please. So do you want me to read you the whole bill? It's not a long bill, but it's still 10 pages long. It's really bad. So they get into the act and why they're doing it, the definition of it and federal law, and then how they apply federal law is according to this new definition of anti-Semitism in Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, 42 U.S.C. 200D, and it prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, national origin, programs, and activities receiving federal financial assistance. And this was, of course, written last year by the White House and by the Democrats, and now it's been passed by the Republicans. With Democrats. And it goes on to say that the title does not cover discriminating based on solely on religion. Individuals who face discrimination based on actual or perceived shared ancestry or ethnic characteristics do not lose protection. And so it goes on to say that they have standing. Part three, discrimination against Jews may rise the violation of such title when the discrimination is based on race, color, or national origin, which can include discrimination based on actual or perceived shared ancestry or ethnic characteristics. So if you just perceive this, you can have somebody arrested. If the policy of the United States enforced the title against prohibited forms of discrimination rooted in anti-Semitism and vigorously as against other forms of discrimination prohibited by title. And it goes on, and it notes the national security strategy to counter anti-Semitism that Biden put in last year that ties into his national security directive of June of 2021, where they declare white supremacism is the number one threat, and white supremacism is not wanting lockdowns, forced injections, open borders, or claiming their censorship. That doesn't exist either. So if you say there's censorship, that's anti-Semitism. So it defines anti-Semitism as white supremacism as breathing. And it goes in Section 3, the findings. Anti-Semitism is on the rise in the United States and is impacting Jewish students, K-12 schools, colleges, universities. Now, here's the key right here. The International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, which is funded by Israel and the UN, George Soros and all of them, referred to this act as the IHRA, Working Definition of Anti-Semitism, is a vital tool which helps includes understanding of the identity of the various manifestations of anti-Semitism. So they go on here, as Chip Roy said, the congressman will play part of the clip again, to give power to this group, a foreign group, to then define and direct federal agencies in the Department of Education, FBI, against anyone that does what they say is anti-Semitic. And they give a big laundry list of the current definition. And they say they can also change it whenever they want. So it's an open check legislation, just like the CIA got in 47 to do whatever they want. The December 11th, 2019 executive order 13899 extended protections against discrimination of the Civil Rights Act 1964 to individuals subjected to anti-Semitism on college university campuses and task federal agencies to consider the IHRA working definition of anti-Semitism when enforcing Title VI of such act. And it goes on to how they're going to enforce it. The working definition of the IHRA, by working, it's expanding. The use of alternative definitions of anti-Semitism impairs enforcement efforts by adding multiple standards and may fail to identify many of the modern manifestations of anti-Semitism. And it goes on to explain the national security strategies of the president, the last two, which is anyone conservative or doesn't hate white people is anti-Semitic or a white supremacist who can be put in prison, basically. You're the number one terror threat, even though it doesn't really manifest anywhere. They're saying it is because they're going to stage false flags, and you know where that's going. It's going to be very obvious. They're going to attack Jewish sites. They're going to attack black sites, and we're off the races. This is the final piece before they do that, so you know, get ready for the New World Order to engage in that. But sitting back here for a minute, I want this to sink in. And again, I could play multiple congressmen, including Democrats saying this, that voted against it, and Republicans. This is not my interpretation. This gives an open blank check for this multinational NGO, non-governmental organization to do whatever it wants with a working definition that they apply. So in U.S. law, it defines things very clearly, what's illegal, what's not. But this just says it's whatever we say it is, and it's changing, it's working. It's a living document. So it's beyond RICO, which can be misapplied of conspiracy. This is beyond RICO. They're just saying, we just make up whatever we want. And they give examples of what this will be. And some of it I'm saying, well, that's already illegal under law, and I think is illegal. Beating up Jews because they're Jews in a college, not letting them in, making them wear wristbands, or if they don't have wristbands, they can't get in. I mean, you know, that's bad stuff. But the Netanyahu just says, ban all these protests. Well, you know, arrest those who things illegal. It's the same way with censorship. Oh, just ban all the conservatives because they're all white supremacists. So it continues. The White House released the first ever United States national strategy to counter anti-Semitism in May of 2023, making clear that the fight against hate is a national bipartisan priority that must be successfully conducted through a whole of government and society approach. Section 4, definitions. For purposes of this act, the term definition of anti-Semitism, and then it just says it's whatever a multinational group says. Means of definition of anti-Semitism adopted on May 26, 2016 by the IHRA, of which the United States is a member, which definition has been adopted by the Department of State. Not ratified as a treaty, but accepted as Department of State. So just like the Supreme Court ruled 2 years ago, they can't shut down coal power plants without a law with the Department of Energy, but they still do it. So it's the same thing. The bureaucracy does whatever it wants and makes its own laws that aren't laws, but now this foreign group will tell the bureaucracy what the living definition, breathing, changing definition is. I mean, this is just staggering. Means the definition of anti-Semitism adopted on May 26, 2016 by the IHRA. So they adopted it, foreign multinational UN group, of which the United States is a member. Okay, you're a member, but you didn't ratify in Congress, which definition has been adopted by the Department of State and includes the contemporary examples of anti-Semitism identified in the IHRA definition. And then it just says, we will follow whatever they say. Read it for yourself. And it just goes on to say, if you criticize basically Jews in any way or a war that Israel's involved in, you're kicked out of school. You can be criminally charged with violation of civil rights. I mean, this is just criminalizing First Amendment. Section 6, other rules of consideration. The general rule of construction. Nothing in this act should be construed to expand the authority of the Secretary of Education, even though it does. Number 2, to alter the standards pursuant to which the Department of Education makes determinations that harassing conduct accounts to actionable discriminalization, or 3, dismiss or infringe upon the rights of protected under any provision of the law. So this just goes on to say we'll selectively enforce this. Finally, constitutional protections. Nothing in the act shall be construed to diminish or infringe upon
any right protection of the First Amendment, the Constitution of the United States. Well, you've seen what's happened with me. They just made up stuff I never said. They had a show trial where I was already found guilty. You know, YouTube just taking down speeches about people saying, stop the war on whites. It's openly being announced. I've got all the stacks of news there. So this is a big deal. And then we've got Biden. Biden's plan to bring in Gazan refugees is national security insanity. Yeah, Israel won't take them. But now all these pissed off people are going to get here and get even further radicalized into this weird amalgamation of Islam and communism. And they've got all these weird so-called right-wing people over here that love Hitler that are all saying how great all this is. And, boy, we're going to finally get the Jews. Yeah, you're going to finally give Israel even more power. I mean, you think the World Trade Center getting attacked hurt Israel or the military-industrial complex? No, it made them more powerful. You think the October 7th attack on Israel when they stood down hurt Israel? Made them more powerful. And I don't want to destroy Israel from the mountains to the sea and all this crap, but I can see and point out what's happening, and then the Israel lobby coming in here to take all of our free speech, knowing it's mainly directed at conservatives, and Soros is in there manipulating the uprising, and they say they're going to have a civil war to stop Trump. It'll be a communist uprising. They bill as a civil war. This is all happening now, just as I said it would leading into the election, and it's going to get more and more intense. So you have to understand the globalists are funding both sides. They are manipulating all this to target the American people. You know, I'm just going to play the whole Chip Roy clip again because some stations don't carry that first five. And this is Chip Roy, congressman, going over what's in the bill. Just so you know, that's not Alex Jones saying that. And I know you're smart. You can read what I just said. I read about 80% of the bill. We don't have time to read all of it. It's a bunch of crap. But it just repeats the same stuff. At the end says, don't worry, you still got all your rights. Oh, don't worry, you got free speech. We just surveil everybody and censor hundreds of millions of people and take your banking away if we don't like what you said. Oh, don't worry, you still got your free speech. You just don't have it. Oh, you still got privacy. You know, Congress 2 weeks ago just passed a law again for total warrantless spying on all of us in live time by AI. And all the federal agencies are in everything with AI, just tracking everything in live time. And your car's got kill switches in it and geofencing controls. And they just killed 22 million people with poison shots. But we're going to sit here with the media focused on Israel and Palestine all day to have a big uproar and a big uprising. And then a cop's going to shoot a black man. And then everything's going to burn down when Trump gets elected. I mean, we just sit here and we watch it happen. Because it's too much fun to be an idiot communist or an idiot leftist or someone that just supports whatever Israel does, a moron on that side. I'm not saying everybody on the Muslim side or the Jewish side's bad. I'm just saying you're being manipulated. And then you've got people like my listeners and myself that understand what's happening and are trying to stop it. And, of course, we're the ones they want to silence. Yeah, we're hard to shut down. We're hard to kill. But we've gone through hell, folks. And, of course, that's the main sign that we're over the target. But you don't have to just see that. You know. Because you can see it yourself. Here's Congressman Chip Roy.
But here's the thing. Yet again today on the floor of the House of Representatives, we had another show vote to make people feel good about themselves by passing a bill that says anti-Semitism in the title. That's what happened. And it was put on the floor by Republican leadership. And it was put on the floor by Republican leadership despite knowing that it was pulled from going through committee. We didn't have a chance to amend it. We didn't have a chance to discuss it, to debate it. We didn't have a hearing on it. It was jammed through to take advantage of this political moment while all of these horrific things are going around the country. Republican leadership wanted to score political points, so they moved through legislation without the kind of deliberation debate that is supposed to be carried out by the people in this chamber. As a result, today, a significant number of my Republican colleagues, including myself, voted no. As a result, we will be accused of, I don't know, being for anti-Semitic behavior, being accused by our friends and allies of not wanting to support Israel, supporting our Jewish American colleagues and friends, constituents, fellow Americans. Nothing could be further from the truth, but that's what will happen. And it'll happen because we dared to stand up and say we don't believe in thought police. We don't believe that a bill should be brought to the floor of the United States House of Representatives, having not gone through committee, that has a reference in it to international organizations' definitions, literally in the statute, and then taking that international organization's definition, and then literally in the statute, representing and referencing the examples of anti-Semitic behavior. Now, I find the vast majority of the things that were listed in that to be horrific activity, most likely, if not certainly, anti-Semitic, at least in most contexts. Some of them are problematic. In totality, they certainly raise First Amendment concerns. They certainly raise concerns about something that I've opposed to the best of my knowledge and ability, reading through pieces of legislation at every turn and every vote, to oppose the whole notion of hate speech, hate crimes, thought police, thought crimes, putting the government into your head and your motivations when you're engaged in criminal behavior. Criminal behavior is criminal behavior. Violating people's civil rights is violating people's civil rights. But when we want to insert the government into what you're thinking and what motivates you, you are empowering that which should never be empowered. The ability of the government to police thought, to police speech, to police your views. Not the views that carry out, then the actions. The actions are the problem. Police the actions.
Absolutely. All right. So don't criminalize speech. Go after criminal activity. Now I forgot to get to this because somehow I lost it in my stack. I had a whole marked up copy of this. I didn't get to the most powerful part. O'Keefe's coming up next, but I'll cover this after he leaves. Then I'll tag this on to the end of this report I just did. You got to read the international group and their definition of anti-Semitism. Folks, any criticism of Israel, you're charged with civil rights violations. You've got to read it. Let me show you the cover page. Real fast overhead shots. People can pull it themselves. What is anti-Semitism? This is the law that they're passing. Holocaust website right here. There's the URL. And we are back live. Just talked to James O'Keefe. He's a little late getting back to his studio. He'll be on with us in about 10 minutes. And that gives me time to get into the definition that they just passed in the House that's going to pass the Senate. They got like 80 votes or so in the Senate. It just passed 320-91 that a foreign multinational group will be in control of the policy of the FBI and the Department of Education. And here is the International Holocaust Organization. We'll put it on screen for you right there. This is working definition of anti-Semitism. And it says this whole document is now going to be law. Anti-Semitism is a certain perception of Jews, which may be expressed as hatred towards Jews. Rhetorical and physical manifestations of anti-Semitism are directed towards Jews or non-Jewish individuals and or their property, toward Jewish community institutions and religious facilities. But then it goes on in the definition right here. And this is what is absolutely incredible. And this bans the First Amendment. This bans the New Testament, as Tucker Carlson is pointing out, calling for, and that's why in Canada they've arrested people that read in church out of Bible verses, you know, that say, you know, like in the New Testament saying the Jews came and got Christ and brought him to Pilate. Calling, and there was just one group of the Jews doing it. Calling for, aiding, or justifying the killing or harming of Jews in the name of radical ideology or extremist view of religion. Okay, well, I mean, I don't think calling for killing people's good, and if you try to do it, you go to jail. So, okay, all right. But then they mix in things that make sense with bad things. Number two, making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews. And such are the power of Jews as a collective, as such, especially but not extensively or exclusively, the myth about world Jewish conspiracy or of Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions. Well, whether that's true or not, someone has a right to say that. Number three, accusing Jews as a people of being responsible for real or imagined wrongdoing committed by a single Jewish person or group, or even for acts committed by non-Jews. Well, I mean, if somebody's right or wrong, they have a right to free speech. Number four, denying the fact scope mechanisms, e.g. gas chambers, or intentionality of the genocide of the Jewish people at the hands of National Socialist Germany and its supporters and accomplices during World War II, the Holocaust. Well, I mean, I think Hitler did go after Jews and kill a bunch of them, and I think it was wrong, but you can say whatever you want. You can say the moon's made out of cheese if you want. Number five, accusing the Jews as a people or Israel as a state of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. Okay. Six, accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or to the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than the interest of their own nations. Well, there are a lot of Jews in America that aren't dual citizens, and a lot of Jews that are, you know, totally pro-America, great people. But you've got members of Congress that show up and vote for bills in Israeli uniforms. I don't want somebody in a Russian uniform or a Chinese uniform or a British uniform to be in Congress saying they really are for this other group. That obviously goes on. They bust U.S. citizens all the time that are Israeli spies. So, what, you can't say that? I mean, I say Swalwell is a Chinese communist agent. It's true. But if it wasn't true, I have a right to say it. Seven, denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination, e.g. by claiming that the existence of the state of Israel is a racist endeavor. Well, that's 70% on most universities of the students and faculty. I mean, that's all they say is it's an apartheid state and all of that. And whether that's true or not, according to your definitions, people have a right to do that. Eight, applying double standards of requiring of it behavior not expected or demanded of any other demographic group or nation. Well, that's super wide, isn't it? Oh, demanding behavior is now a crime. What's the left do all day? Tell you whites are inherently bad. What's the ADL say? Whites are inherently bad. Christians are inherently bad. Number nine, using the symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, drawings, comparisons, contemporary Israel policy. I mean, look, number nine is incredible. Using the symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, claims of Jews killing Jesus or blood libel. That's the part banning the New Testament, to characterize Israel or Israelis. This is outrageous. Number 10, drawing comparisons of contemporary Israel policy to that of the Nazis. Well, people have a right to do that if they want to. Hell, the left calls everybody Nazis over here constantly with no proof. Number 11, holding Jews collectively responsible for actions of the state of Israel. That is certainly unfair and wrong to do, but people are allowed to do bad things as long as they don't physically hurt somebody. So, this organization, this group, that they put in charge of this is supposedly the boss of the FBI and of the Congress and of everything else, the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. And that's the UN NGOs being given great power because they're, quote, stakeholders. We're not as citizens. And next is going to be don't criticize the illegal aliens. They already want to make that illegal. And then once they've done this, which they're about to pass in the Senate, they can do it across the board everywhere. Now, I was on for over an hour last night with James O'Keefe. He's about to join us. And Congressman Matt Gaetz also came on. It's about a 15-minute video. We're going to post it to Bandot Video and on Real Alex Jones with the headline, Congressman Matt Gaetz calls for a congressional investigation of the CIA coup against Trump in America. I'm just taking out 15 minutes the crew has. I think some of the most important stuff said there. Let's air a few minutes of this before we bring Congressman, some of the things Congressman Matt Gaetz said before we bring on James O'Keefe.
Because listen to you guys, this is blowing me away. James is absolutely right. So is Eric. Ladies and gentlemen, you lie to the FBI, it's a federal crime. You lie to the president, it's a federal crime. When you're a federal agent, think of the sabotage. That's what foreign enemies do. In intelligence, is they feed disinformation to our government. Here's the CIA, and it's not just this whistleblower, not just this huge leak that's so massive. They admitted they were feeding Trump false information. That means the elected person who is the executive, it's totally criminal. But again, the Justice Department won't charge him, obviously, but we've got to convict him in the court of public opinion. So I thought, I mean, that's just so amazing. But it goes back to what James just said about 10 minutes ago. They are so scared they just responded within 1 hour.
Yeah, I've never seen anything. I've never seen anything like that. I mean, I think some of the reporting done by Eric Cochran here and my team in the last 6 months, probably some of the best visuals ever. The Pfizer story, people are talking about that as the biggest. Pfizer did respond, took them a day or two. They responded before I even released this story. I didn't even publish it, which is, you know, it's kind of, that might be traditional to New York Times. It's very unusual in my case.
Say one thing here.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
If you're a tough guy and you don't make a big deal out of this, people need to pray for you. They need to financially support you. You have been arrested. You have been raided. You've been targeted. So has, you know, the other fellow that's on that exposed the CIA operation. It's me. People need to not get complacent and just see these incredible coups against tyranny and not take it serious. And, you know, these guys think they're invincible. They are not invincible. This is God's work, folks. We need to celebrate this. We need to realize how big a deal this is, and that's why they're scared. So everybody listening to me, there is this paradox where as more and more comes out, people just get used to it. And again, I said earlier, you've got to realize how important this is, and we've got to support O'Keefe Media Group because James O'Keefe is doing the most ballsy, dangerous reporting in the world against the most dangerous agencies in the world. Most people have got to, you know, get put in prison for this, like Julian Assange, where they got to run to Russia. So I just want to point out that I've done a lot of ballsy stuff, but nothing in this category. This is next level.
Yeah, thank you for recognizing that, Alex. I did say that, do you think it's a coincidence that last week I am subject to an endless series of attacks? And with that, I go into the Matt Gaetz. We have breaking news out of Congress real quick. Matt Gaetz breaking, formally calling on the Weaponization Subcommittee to launch an investigation into the CIA. This is the Honorable Jim Jordan from Matt Gaetz. Footage contains evidence. I have the letter. I've posted it. Footage contains evidence the intelligence committees withheld intelligence from President Trump and used FISA to spy on Trump and still doing that today. That's a congressional letter that was just sent, one of many, hopefully to come. Letter writing is one thing. I don't know how we go from here. Matt Gaetz, are you on? Is that you?
Hey, James.
Hey there. I just seeing your letter. Can you describe a little bit about what is developing?
Sure. Well, first, I am startled by what we see, but not surprised, right? Because as jarring as it is, it is part of a constellation of facts that we've uncovered in the Judiciary Committee and in the Weaponization Subcommittee that there is an effort underway to try to shape the nature of truth itself by shaping what can be seen and what can be received, particularly by those in power. And there's a cabal in Washington that want to control the access to information, both upward to decision makers and downward to the populace. I was listening earlier and someone asked the question, well, do you think they're doing this to President Biden as well? Yes. This is not a partisan issue. The way the intelligence community works around here is frightening, and oftentimes we see manifestations now where it's directed at the right. But, you know, I believe that the right approach with what we have on tape, and then, by the way, the reaction from the CIA that is so couched, it is functionally an admission.
Yeah. What is your? Can you break down that for us, Matt? What are your reaction and thoughts and analysis of that statement?
Well, I mean, it showcases the connection of this individual to the very information stream that we're concerned about. I mean, that's what you glean from the letter mostly is that, you know, this, what usually there's this effort, you know, to try to make it sound like the person's the janitor. And, you know, here, I think you've got it right down the middle. But I think going forward, the right approach is to have the Weaponization Committee investigate, bring this individual in to ask thorough questions about, you know, when he's talking about the director, how did he know that information? Any one piece of evidence has to be corroborated. So I think that what we saw in the FISA abuses, this video that your journalism has uncovered, and then some of the other stuff that we're aware of, some we can talk about, some we can't. You know, to me, that all is part of the same nexus of what's going on. And we get this guy in, we ask questions about the information flow, how it was impaired, who it was involved. And then you know what happens? People start flipping on each other because people don't want to be charged with lying to Congress. And so then you start to zero in on who the real bad actors are.
Yeah, Matt.
That's right. This is a foot in the door.
Matt, I've heard that there's some good people. I know that's a cliche, but there's actually a lot of good people that work in the agency. In fact, when I was standing outside the building doing my on-camera narration, a couple people honked the horn, said they were fans. I don't know how prevalent this is among the rank and file, or your thoughts on that. And this guy seems to have a position of access and authority. He worked there since 2008. And what do you think, Matt, was the most damning statement in the video?
I think that when he's talking about direct implication of the director of the CIA in constraining access to the president, you really have a major problem. And if that can be corroborated, it will be deeply serious. And, careers will be ruined and a lot will be exposed. I think Alex said it right. This is the foot in the door to go and really really root it out. I think it's kind of a bell curve on your question of like the good and the bad. I think some of the folks who are so Washingtonized and so calcified in this belief that all the real smart people in the country work in the three-letter agencies and everybody else just is like lucky enough to live on the same planet with them, that's calcified at the top level. And then I think because there's so much virtue signaling right now, a lot of the new people that are joining are very much like social justice warriors with an agenda. But you've got a lot of great folks in kind of the Gen X, banding of these agencies and some of the geriatric millennials who are patriots, who do love their country, and I think are disgusted by stuff like this. You know, when you've done this before, James, isn't it always some of the good people in any of these organizations that you expose who reach out to you and thank you because they feel trapped?
Yes.
They feel trapped in that system, whether it's in corporate, in big pharma, or in big government. And this, liberates a little bit of the truth.
Yeah, I think you're right. And sometimes it's weighing the harm done to the individual with the public interest. This guy was pretty villainous, the way he talked, the way he acted. He's describing crimes. Matt, a lot of my people, audience, they're very disillusioned by Congress. What would be the process to haul this guy in? How can that happen? What can Congress actually do or the House actually do here?
Well, let me validate that disillusionment at the start. There have been far too many cases this year where in our committees of jurisdiction, we have been dilatory in bringing in the witnesses. And then when we bring them in, we bring them in under negotiations that I think are too favorable. For example, our staff negotiated away the ability to videotape Hunter Biden's deposition. I have no idea why we did that. That is something I would not have done. And so there will be, I think, a desire to send some letters, get official comment, go through the legislative liaison. My preference is to cut through that. You immediately get this person in for their first transcribed interview. And you know what? If you don't have every document around them at that time, you're still able to unlock who they work for, their chain of command, who their coworkers were, who they discussed this with, how they recorded any of these agreements or plans or crimes in any writing or in any calendar entry. And then you springboard off of that.
All right, folks. Again, it's posted on O'Keefe Media Group. It's posted on Infowars.com. It's posted at Real Alex Jones. It's several hours long. Really incredible people on that Spaces with James O'Keefe that he does at least every Wednesday for several hours live. Really, really powerful stuff. But there's been a lot of big developments since last night when this broke. And I did have James on in the next hour, but I forgot I had Dr. Robert Malone on then, so that's why we've had to just get him pop in here at the end of this hour. So, James O'Keefe, amazing information, a lot of fallout since you broke this just 20 hours ago. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Alex, for having me.
So, we've only got about 9 minutes. You've got the floor. A lot's happened. Tell us what's going on.
Well, first of all, thank you for coming on this My Spaces show yesterday, and we dived into a lot of themes. To kind of re-summarize those, just kind of the facts of what has occurred here. This guy is a green badge guy with the CIA. What does that mean? Well, green badges are contractors. He's a program manager in cybersecurity for the Chinese Mission Center, that's CMC at the CIA. So Chinese Mission Center, they have Iran Mission Center, all these mission centers. And he's unbelievably open in this. You've never seen a recording like this in your life, certainly not from a CIA guy. And he says that they're withholding information from Trump, that they're spying on Trump's ex-wife. They're currently listening to everything, is what he says. And he flashes his credentials. He's bragging to this woman about what he's done. And he says it so matter-of-factly in the video. He repeats himself multiple times. And he says that the directors, Gina Haskell and Mike Pompeo, withheld information from Trump at the CIA because the executive staff did not trust Trump with that information because they feared that he would leak it. And the problem with all that is it's illegal. So, Alex, the CIA press secretary actually got on the phone with me, which is unbelievable. I don't usually ever get, comments from institutions, let alone the CIA, let alone right before I released the story. And they appear to have fired him, Alex. He was had the badge as of last week, no longer. And then President Trump just putting out a statement today as well saying that they should get rid of him. And then the CIA is supposed to be intelligent, but this guy's not very intelligent. So I think there's more here. It's just, what you and I talked about yesterday on that Spaces was the theme that, we all know it. Everyone always says we know it. But I think seeing the visual confirmation and seeing this guy's face and listening to him talk is very compelling. And hopefully that inspires more people, whipsaws, more people, as I like to say, to come forward with documentation.
Sure. Well, that's why this is so big, is that more and more people are doing this. You're now crowdsourcing, and it's happening. It came out that the CIA and FBI, was quarterbacking the disinfo against me a month ago. And this is really snowballing. You have calls for congressional investigations. You have President Trump talking about it. This is really how we're going to continue to expose this. But what do you make of the lightning fast response before you even released the video? They were already responding.
Yeah, I don't even know what to make of that. That informs me that I spoke with the press secretary on the phone, and they provided a written statement, and the statement that basically said, "Well, this guy does not represent the views of us, and he is no longer a person that works here." What struck me was just how serious they take it. That's what I thought. I said this is a really bad look. I mean, this video is riveting. It almost looks like a Saturday Night Live sketch of someone pretending to be a bad spook who's admitting to all these things. So that informs me they take it very seriously, and they're taking this whole situation extremely seriously.
Well, James, we know. Let me throw this in here. This is key. I want you to respond to it. Obviously, because it's come out from other sources, and we know, but this is just an absolute spotlighting and highlighting of it, that it was Pompeo and it was these other individuals that were giving him fake briefings. They later came out that they were bragging about how they were giving him fake briefings. I talked about that on the Spaces with you yesterday. In fact, guys, I left those articles on my desk. It's right there in the middle of my desk. Three articles, Wall Street Journal, others. Go grab it real quick for me. But so, of course, guaranteed, Pompeo and them were on the phone when you put it out yesterday morning and allowed me to graciously just break that this was coming. They immediately went into damage control because they know it's true. You know Clapper, you know Brennan, you know Pompeo were crapping their britches. Go ahead, James.
Oh, I think, it's this guy says it so matter-of-factly. You can be the judge. You guys were listening. You can go watch this video. He says it so resolutely and so matter-of-factly. And, some people like Pompeo. There's a lot of people in politics that, I got a couple people telling me off the record, got to get a document. Well, if such a document exists, Alex, it's going to be hard to obtain. It's so hard to get information out of there because everyone's got the top secret clearances. And this guy had a TSSCI. He brags about it. He says it's polygraph vetted. So, the video kind of speaks for itself. I just hope that you heard Matt Gaetz say we need more whistleblowers. I hope that other people come forward with documents that corroborate what the man is saying.
Absolutely. I've got the Wall Street Journal right here from 2017. Spies keep intelligence from Donald Trump. I've got Harry Reid talking about it. I've got a bunch of art. So this is there. We need serious Frank Church 2.0 hearings. We don't need milquetoast hearings. We need to haul Pompeo and all their asses before Congress. That's why they're scared. You know, I told you about this last night. You've had similar things over the years happen. 95% chance. You know, I got bumped last night right after the interview. I left the office. Guy swoops in. I usually security usually walks through my car. I went out a side door for some reason. This guy swoops up, says, "Hey, you better watch out. I was just listening to you and O'Keefe and all this. You know, how you feeling? How you doing? You all right, buddy? You kind of need to watch out. You need to talk to somebody." And it, you know, looked like an FBI type undercover guy.
Yeah.
And I said bye-bye. Yeah. But I mean, that's what's going on. And so it's like out of a movie.
Yeah, I think that they're scared because it's almost like they fear my camera and they fear the mirror of themselves. They fear being exposed. So it's with me, it's even more challenging because if they retaliate, which I hope they don't do, I believe they won't. But if they do, it's like they're going to be a fear of being exposed for doing that. Even your little bump last night in the parking lot, you know, the fact that you could tell you have a megaphone, you could talk about that. I think it's going to bring more awareness to what they're doing. So I think they're going to be afraid, you know, hopefully in the new era of citizen digital journalism, the revolution of that, they're not going to want to do that because it's going to be known that they're doing that. And people are waking up.
James, we got you on late, and I appreciate you coming on. We got a two-minute break. Do five more minutes with me because I've got a few other questions about how we support you,
sure.
The media you're doing. Sure. Give us a little prelude of what's coming next and what right, else you expect to come out of this. But where's the best place for people to find you?
Yeah, O'KeefeMediaGroup.com is the website, and it's on all, you know, X, Instagram. You know, the video's got like 10 million views on X, so you could mine James O'Keefe III on X.
All right, we're going to go to break for 2 minutes. I'm going to come out and play Trump's 30-second comment. I hope he does more. This is big. And then we're going to get some final comments from James O'Keefe. Then Dr. Robert Malone joins us. We'll be right back with the third hour, Infowars.com. All right, final little short segment with the great James O'Keefe, and then Robert Malone, with huge breaking news on the COVID front, joins us. Just a month ago, Gavin Oblibas, the CIA former FBI contractor, about their targeting of myself, that came out, went mega viral. This is much bigger because it's against the president himself, and we have so much evidence that it did happen. But now the frequency of this is really building. You'd think these guys would keep their mouths shut, James O'Keefe, that they're just totally unprofessional.
Yeah, they don't keep their mouths shut because they, you know, there's the truth is the truth. And sometimes people need to confess the truth. And that's why good defeats evil in the end. That's why light defeats darkness. And it's remarkable that you have a CIA guy, a cybersecurity program manager, contracted Northrop Grumman, Deloitte, Langley, a guy with the green badge and the lanyard, spilling all these secrets. But the truth is, you know, that's why undercover journalism matters. That's why what we do at O'KeefeMediaGroup.com matters, and now you have a reaction from President Trump and a statement from the CIA exclusively given to us at O'Keefe Media Group.
Are you expecting more of this? I mean, suddenly two big ones in the last month. This is very exciting.
Yeah, I think it's – I think people are – I know this is the – we've been saying this for years, but I think people are really, really waking up now. I think everyone around – everyone is high alert and, you know, kind of like what the deep state says or – oh, if you see something, say something. You know, Alex, they've been saying that for 20 years. Well, now it's the inverse. Now citizens are beginning to perk up their ears. And when they're, you know, sitting in a bar or they're at a restaurant and there's a guy in the intelligence or the FBI starts yapping along, I think people are liable to take their camera out and record it.
Well, they're very, very unprofessional. I had family that did stuff in intelligence, and they never talked about anything till their deathbeds. And these guys are running around like parrots just squawking. Since you mentioned it, here's a short clip of President Trump's statement about this breaking story.
Mr. President, your reaction to this videotape of the CIA individual talking about how the CIA director has withheld information from you?
Well, it's shocking to see how stupid somebody can be. If this guy's for real, you ought to get rid of him. CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, this is not an intelligent guy. To be openly talking to a woman that walks up and starts asking him questions and talking that way. So he may be bragging or showing off to some young lady. I have no idea the conditions under which he spoke, but I'd get rid of him real fast. If he's for real, get rid of him.
And again, that was Trump yesterday morning when you met with him, I believe, before he 100% he trusted you, but before they admitted it was real. Now we need to see him obviously call for investigations, call for Pompeo to be hauled up. Do you agree with that, James O'Keefe?
Yeah, I need to let Trump know that the CIA's statement, because they, like you said, Alex, that was before the CIA confirmed his employment and then said that they had terminated him. Again, if you're just tuning in, this guy had a green badge that had this insignia on it, and the law says that if he has that in his possession, he's currently employed there, and that was of last week. So
and they now admit it. Yeah, they now admit it. In closing, how do we support the most successful organization out there exposing evil? How do we get behind James O'Keefe?
We really need resources. We're a smaller team than we were. We have crowdsourced citizen journalism, O'KeefeMediaGroup.com. That's OKEEFEMediaGroup.com/donate. Send support. Sign up to be a citizen journalist. We also have a tax deductible arm now. It's on our website. If you need a tax deductible donation, 501c3 called Citizen Journalism Foundation. If you want to support us through your foundation, thank you, Alex, for being part of the story and for getting the message out.
Yes, sir. We admire you. When we literally go to sleep at night and get down sometimes, I think, well, we got James O'Keefe and Tucker Carlson and a few others. God bless you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, the great Robert Malone, the inventor, one of the top inventors of mRNA technology, finally on the show. We're honored to have him. Go to 1 minute break, come back. Please remember, we're listener supported. Go to our great sponsor that helps keep this show on air. Plus, they have amazing products, drjonesnaturals.com. All the nano silver toothpaste and wound gels and immune gargle and all of it is there at drjonesnaturals.com. And also Next Level Foundational Energy. It is methyl folate with a bunch of other key compounds. The breakdown of folic acid that is the energy of the cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect, and it's all clean and healthy. It's Next Level. What's called Next Level Foundational Energy at drjonesnaturals.com. Back in 60 seconds with Dr. Robert Malone. All right, our guest for the balance of the hour needs no introduction. Dr. Robert Malone has been the most prominent out of a bunch of amazing prominent doctors and scientists that have exposed the great COVID tyranny of where the virus came from, the dangerous experimental shots that they call vaccines, and now 4+ years into this, wow, total vindication of Dr. Robert Malone and so many other great individuals that have gone public. We've had whistleblowers, the vice president of EcoHealth Alliance. We have major Senate hearings where Fauci's caught red-handed in his own emails calling it gain of function. There is so much to catch up on because I've met him once when he was here, talked to him a little bit when he was going on one of the other shows, but he's never been on my show, and he's here, so I feel like I know him, but I'm almost every day following the interviews and the breaking news, the things he talks about to really understand what we've been hit by, and now we have the UN treaty that literally takes control of our sovereignty and our bodies, and Bill Gates is running around like a gremlin, giggling, saying another big one's coming, and it's going to be much worse, and I've got articles where the UN's announcing, along with the Davos group, that the world ID will be based on a vaccine passport. So my big concern is we can't, because humans have a tendency when they go through a trauma to just get over it and move past it. But it's coming again. It's in the Rockefeller Foundation documents. It's in the Great Reset documents. It's all there in Operation Lockstep from 12 years ago, that this is how they want to bring in total corporate global dominance, is virus scares is their main jewel in the crown. They talk about cyber attacks and wars and migration, but the big jewel in the crown, I think Robert Malone would agree, is this. So he can go wherever he wants. There's so many big developments, so many studies coming out, prestigious studies, government admissions of myocarditis, and it's not as just terrible. Insurance company actuaries, tens of millions dead. I mean, and it just gets worse by the minute, and then all the anecdotal evidence. So I'm kind of ranting here. Robert W. Malone, MD, MS, one of the pioneers, the most sourced main pioneer into mRNA, been warning about it long before they even rolled out COVID because some of the problems with it, obviously. It's great to have you, Dr. Malone, and we really appreciate you coming on today.
Well, thanks, Alex. And I just want to acknowledge your leadership and your ability to see around corners. Again and again and again, you have been labeled as a conspiracy theorist and a nutcase for speaking the truth that you were able to perceive earlier than many people. And I'm in your debt, and I think we're all in your debt for your courageous actions over these many years. You've been vilified and denigrated and gaslit and everything else. I've received a small taste of what you've been through, and I don't like it very much. So I certainly appreciate and empathize with everything you've been through. And thank you for being the hero that you are and not backing down in the face of all the crap that's been thrown at you.
Well, thank you, sir. But I think, because I watch you all the time, I think you said it best. It's not even courage. This is survival. We've got to stand against this. I mean, this is a mass power grab, mass psychosis you talk about. So you're really wide spectrum, the expert on all this. Where do you want to go first? What they did, what's happening now, what they're going to do next? There's so many big developments. So I wanted to really try to give you the floor.
Well, I'm just back from Romania, and so I'm a little biased right now, having been at the Make Europe Great Again conference, where we had a number of European speakers, conservatives, speaking about what's going on here. And as far as I'm concerned,
Good old Skype occasionally cuts out, so we'll just reconnect with him. Yeah, that was a great conference. I wasn't there, obviously, but I watched it and I listened to it. Doc, looks like your Skype came back. You just said you got back from the Make Romania Great Again event. Please continue.
Or it was Make Europe Great Again. I apologize if I said Romania. I was in Romania for the Make Europe Great Again conference. And I learned a number of things from the conservatives that were there. For instance, just one example, Alex, that you may not be aware of. Those that were representatives of the Alliance for Deutschland, AfD, Conservative Party, which is arguably the leading conservative party in Germany right now, would not allow themselves to be identified as being AfD members or supporters, because if they did be so identified on the interview, they would be arrested upon returning to Germany. Right now, waving a German flag is considered to be a neo-Nazi act. All over the world, there's an effort to suppress nationalism in favor of globalism. What we're up against, as you rightly point out, is the weaponization of all kinds of aspects of science, infectious disease and virology being one of them. Weaponization in order to advance ulterior motives, other agendas. And all those other agendas really wrap back around, as you point out, to control. Controlling people through a weaponization of fear, I argue, is fundamentally unethical. But it's what's being done. It's what's being done by our government. It's what's being done by the European Union. It's what's being done by the World Health Organization. It's what's being done by the United Nations. And somehow we have to stop this. This is not okay for governments to be using fear in order to control their populace. But that's what's going on. And as far as I'm concerned, the COVID crisis is just a small example of a broader strategy that's in play here.
Absolutely. Again, I have a trillion questions to ask. How would you describe the entire COVID event and the aftermath of it? And then there's the staggering numbers of dead we see that's more and more not even being denied. Even corporate media is now basically admitting this, and I just wonder what the fallout's going to be.
Good question. What is the fallout from this gross mismanagement of public health over the last 4 years? And as you're alluding to, what we're seeing is that the deaths were not due to they don't appear to be due to SARS-CoV-2 infection. There's actually a big discussion right now among people out on the edges about whether or not this is even a pandemic, whether or not we can call this a pandemic. Because excess all-cause mortality seems to accrue after the vaccine rollout and these various dysfunctional public health measures, the use of remdesivir, et cetera. And it doesn't seem to correlate with the onset of the infectious wave in 2020. Furthermore, we have more and more evidence that this virus was engineered. And yesterday we had Ralph Dazik, Peter Dazik, I'm sorry. Peter Dazik testifying before the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis of the House. And Dazik repeatedly denied that there was any credible evidence that this virus was laboratory engineered. He repeatedly insisted that it was from natural sources, a transmission from animal source to humans. But the preponderance of data is quite strong now, and the committee wouldn't hear of this. They're talking about moving forward on banning Mr. Dazik, Dr. Dazik, from any future research funding from the United States government, and there's active discussion of even holding him criminally liable. I think there's, and I've been calling this shot now for a couple of months. The tea leaves to me read that Mr. Dazik, Dr. Dazik, is likely to be the fall guy here. The only question I think remaining is whether or not Mr. Fauci, Dr. Fauci, is also going to have to be held accountable.
And didn't I see you predict that about a year ago, that Dazik would be the fall guy?
Yeah. So it's playing out exactly as I intended or as I anticipated. And no surprise, because Dazik is outside of the government. The government, U.S. government, has got a real problem, as does the CCP. The CCP and the U.S. government were the prime movers here in engineering this. And all the evidence points to the proposal that Dazik had written and submitted to DARPA, proposed the engineering of a virus. And this SARS-CoV-2 sequence has the hallmarks of exactly the type of engineering that he proposed to do together with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So we're in a situation, you can see forward on this, Alex. What would happen if there was an acknowledgement that the United States government funded research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology that proceeded together with EcoHealth Alliance to engineer a virus that spread all over the world like this? The civil and criminal liability would be enormous. The political consequences would be enormous. And so what we're going to see is continued efforts on the part of the U.S. government, the European Union, the WHO, et cetera, to deny what is increasingly obvious. But I think that this, to its credit, this Select Committee is really pretty pissed off right now. If you listen to the testimony, and the amazing thing to me was how bipartisan that was. Both sides of the aisle are looking to really hold Mr. Dazik, Dr. Dazik, accountable for his actions. So I think that we're going to get some traction on accountability for the origin of the virus. But so far, absolutely no accountability about the manipulation of data, withholding of data by the CDC, withholding of informed consent and key information from the general populace about the adverse events associated with the vaccine. I don't see how the U.S. government comes clean on what they have done here in preventing the citizens of the United States from having informed consent concerning the risks associated with these vaccines.
And again, doctor, you're totally immersed in the law and the developer of mRNA and warned of it, you know, even before they launched COVID. So you're immersed in this. But for lay folks out there, we're talking about major Nuremberg Code violations that have gone on. You might want to explain that. That's a caveat. And then one other little question. For those that don't know, you obviously have seen you talk about it. You've pioneered exposing it. Dazik is in all these videos and paperwork that are public right before COVID was released, saying we're splicing all these viruses, we're doing all this, it's gain of function, ha, 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 so we can make vaccines. And then we've got Fauci saying the same thing. And then they go to Congress and say, I know nothing, like Sergeant Schultz. It'd be so easy if the Justice Department wasn't controlled to indict them for perjury.
Precisely. And to hold them accountable for contempt of Congress at a minimum. The actions of Dr. Fauci regarding Rand Paul and his not only lying about the gain of function, but then attacking Rand Paul and gaslighting and denigrating and insulting a sitting senator, That's just not excusable. That by, and remember, Fauci is a serving public officer, the most highly paid public servant, exceeding the payroll, the annual pay.
And those exchanges are so arrogant. He goes, "No, Senator, it is you that is lying. It is you that is wrong." And then we got hundreds of emails and videos of him going, "I'm holding a gain of function conference. Gain of function, so good." I mean, he even uses that term. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it was fascinating watching Daszak wriggle and writhe around his attempts to justify that this was not gain of function based on a strict interpretation of some written regulations that exist. So that's what he's resorting to, is basically blaming NIH for all of this. Again and again and again, Daszak threw NIH under the bus. Every time Congress tried to hold him accountable or caught him at one of his lies. And you're right. This is what this is all teeing up, because they now have Barrick testifying. They used Barrick, Ralph Barrick from University of North Carolina, a former key collaborator of Dr. Daszak's. They used his testimony against Dr. Daszak. They have testimony from the acting director of NIAID, the person that took over Tony Fauci's position. They have testimony from the temporary director of NIH. They have caught Tony Fauci's lieutenant red-handed, telling Mr. Daszak to use his Gmail account so that it couldn't be traced, instead of using official channels.
Sure, so we have obstruction too, but didn't Redfield about a year ago, he came out and actually threw him all on the bus and admitted, of course, it's gain of function. So the rats are leaving the sinking ship.
Bob Redfield is an interesting character. I've known him for years. He is very much a lieutenant of Dr. Gallo. And Bob Redfield was the director of CDC through a lot of this. And he was more or less participating in, or not disclosing what he knew for a long time. And the rumor was that Bob Gallo told him he had to come clean. And then he gave this stunning testimony, as you say, I think it was sworn testimony, in which he admitted a whole series of things, including that the 6-foot social distancing was arbitrary and capricious. They just made it up. He officially disclosed DOD funding, USAID funding, that the funding of the Wuhan Institute of Virology was coming from multiple government sources, and that the NIAID funding was actually a minority of the capital that was pumped into the Wuhan Institute
of Virology. So they know it's unraveling, Dr. Malone, and what you're hitting is the big enchilada. This is going to cause social unrest. The whole world will turn against the United States. The liability will be in the trillions. I mean, this
already happened.
Yeah, it's happening.
Having come back from Europe, it's already happening. And that's why they have to implement this censorship industrial complex in the way that they are, because this is the term existential crisis is overused. But as Mike Benz appropriately laid out on Tucker Carlson, what is going on here is the rise of a populist movement, the use of social media in particular in ways that it was not intended to lead to things like Brexit and the election of Mr. Trump, and that we now face, the U.S. government and State Department and intelligence community now face the prospect of a growing populism in throughout the U.S. sphere of influence in the Pacific Rim area, Australia, New Zealand, in Europe, European Union, the expansionist NATO positions right now are all under threat of the risk of a populist wave, particularly in Europe, that may well lead to increasing pressure to reduce the role of the European Union. Potentially having additional European states leave the European Union, and that potentially would compromise NATO, the grand plans that have been implemented. And in the face of this truly existential crisis in terms of American foreign policy as they face the BRICS consortium and the rise of the CCP and of Russia, Putin's Russia, and the Middle East, of course. The U.S. intelligence community, the Five Eyes Alliance, feels that it's necessary to really pull out the stops and deploy psychological warfare and censorship and propaganda on their own citizens.
And that's the civil war cultural. That's a civil war cultural stuff we see now. I mean, they flip the switch.
Absolutely, and it's no holds barred now. Anything goes. That's the thing. Anything goes on any of these crisis scenarios, whether it's climate change or infectious disease or the energy initiatives, etc. All of these things are being weaponized in order to justify, as you point out, these identities, identity passports, and the social credit system through the central bank digital currency. All of this is being rolled out simultaneously in a concerted effort to control the ability and willingness of people to act as sovereign beings, to act independently.
And what's incredible is if you read Operation Lockstep 2011, the Rockefeller Foundation, that's so integral to all the battle planning, said by 2020, 2025, we'll have so much unrest and so many issues against us, we're going to need a big virus. And so we're going to go to break in a few minutes. But I know you don't like to speculate, but clearly it's man-made. Clearly they use it for a power grab. Clearly they block therapeutics. I mean, committed crimes against humanity.
I agree to all those points. I concur with all those points you just made.
And do you agree, though, and I think you've already said this, but it's blown up in their face. It didn't go the way they thought.
And that's not dissuading them. So what there seems to be the belief that they can control this information. I mean, you're the one that's pioneered this term, InfoWars. They firmly believe that they can deploy modern psychological warfare technology with all the trimmings, what NATO calls hybrid warfare, and completely control the narrative by controlling everything that people think, feel, see, believe. And they're a long way towards being able to do it, except for a few alternative media dissenting voices such as your own.
But I think you agree, we're going to break in a moment, that there's a paradox, though. The awakening's been happening a while. It becomes cliched, as James O'Keefe said last time, but it's true. It's going straight up. I mean, I would get a lot of hate. Still majority support 3 years ago going to the grocery store. Now I go 6 months without somebody yelling at me and calling me. People are really upset. People are awake.
Yeah, in coming back from Europe, I'm hearing a growing wave of dissatisfaction with what has been done here. And this is just, the COVID crisis is just the most egregious example. It's one that everybody can see and feel, and it's touched every family in the world. But the transsexual agenda, the sexualization of children, the education agendas that are going on, this kind of wokeism version of Marxism, all of this is going on at the same time, and people are taking notice. Is it a critical majority yet? We're going to find out. The key moment, I think, that's coming up is the elections in Europe for the membership to the European Parliament, which I believe is June 7th through 9, depending on the nation state. And they're doing everything they can to shut down the populist.
Dr. Malone, stay there. We're going to come right back after this quick break, and we're going to get into The Great Awakening. Also, your book's amazing, Lies My Government Told Me, forwarded by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Everybody get his book, Lies My Government Told Me, at Amazon.com and everywhere else. We'll be right back with Dr. Robert Malone. Please stay with us. All right, I could talk to Dr. Robert Malone for 5 hours, and I know next time he comes to do Joe Rogan's podcast or something, I'm a mile and a half away from Joe. We're good friends. He'll hopefully come and visit us in studio, because this guy just gets it all. He's got a wide spectrum understanding, and I keep saying I'm not going to interrupt, then I think of so many things to back up what you're saying that are just crazy. But you got cut off talking about all over the world, populist anti-globalists are getting elected. Europe, it's showing it's going to just be a rout. But that's panicking the system, as you said. So they're starting wars or destabilizing. Please continue along that line. And then wherever you want to go, I've got 1,000 questions, but wherever you think's most important, plus the devastating numbers coming out of the millions of dead and the UN treaty, Dr. Malone, please continue.
Thanks, Alex. So regarding the UN treaty, what we're talking about is the UN treaty on pandemics, particularly for the WHO. So this is the WHO Pandemic Accords and the International Health Regulations of Modifications. And what's in play here, it's going to be voted on quite soon, is a major grab for power, sovereignty, and also financial power by the World Health Organization under the thesis that they've done such a good job in managing the SARS-CoV-2 crisis, the COVID crisis, that they deserve more power and really global control for coordinating all future pandemic responses, and also that they have the right to declare whether or not something is a global public health threat. So they seek the power for Mr. Tedros, their director general, to be able to declare anything as a major public health threat that he so desires, just like he arbitrarily and capriciously declared monkeypox a global health threat. And we've all seen how that played out. So this is a treaty, and it's also a modification of the international health regulations that have been proposed by Mr. Biden. And under this structure, what is proposed is that the WHO will be able to tell nation states what they must do and what their people must do, what drugs they must take, what vaccines they must receive in response to a public health outbreak. And these public health outbreaks can be associated with anything. They can be a climate crisis. They can involve gun violence. It can be whatever it is that Mr. Tedros determines is a public health threat or public health emergency. And it's all part of what's called the One Health Initiative, which basically determines that the rights of human beings are equivalent to that of all other species, animal, plant, et cetera. So they can declare a public health crisis, an international health crisis, because they believe that there's a threat to a given species in the Amazon or anything they want, really. It is truly arbitrary. And it truly is a threat to your national sovereignty, but that's only one of many threats. I'd like to talk for just a moment about what is globalism. We hear this tossed around again and again about globalism and the threat of globalism. Functionally, the threat of globalism is that of central planning. What they propose is that public-private partnerships, transnational public-private partnerships, which meet the criteria of Benito Mussolini for the term fascism, will have the right to determine how the world should be run, what you should do, how you should live, what you should eat, whether or not you live in 15-minute cities, whether or not you're allowed to travel on airplanes, etc. And all of this is really global controlled central planning. What is central planning? Have we seen examples of central planning before? Of course we have. The former Soviet Union, and I just come back from Romania under the dictator Ceausescu. There are many of these totalitarian dictatorships over time that we've seen that rely on central planning edicts. And what they do is they destroy cultures. They destroy people, they destroy their lives, they destroy productivity, they destroy innovation. This is the key thing that I want to get across here, is the reason why to reject globalism and central planning is because it is the best way to prevent innovation. Central planning
And global control will kill the ability of individuals and nation states to innovate, to adapt to changing conditions. What they propose is based on a theory called Malthusianism, that the world has limited resources. The global population of humans is outstripping those resources. This is why there is the depopulation agenda, et cetera. And these people believe that the solution is central control, central planning, bureaucrats determining what everybody in the world shall do. And by the way, the other reason why they want to drive towards this, these large corporations, Larry Fink, BlackRock, et cetera, I think we're looking at Larry right now, is that it reduces friction. It reduces the economic cost of transactions to have all cultures and all nation states homogenized in terms of their business practices, their rules and regulations, et cetera.
And he just admitted the end game is to cut off resources for depopulation. He said, it's good to have depopulation. We want to replace people with robots. That's a quote yesterday at the World Economic Forum.
Yeah, this is the logic that's been promoted. This is the logic of transhumanism and the belief that substitution of artificial intelligence, robotics, and transhuman technology will give rise to a new species, a superior species that will supplant the human species. This is part of a broader agenda that really is a death agenda when you think about it, from the perspective of human beings, is they're promoting death. They're promoting death in all kinds of different ways. And I argue we have to choose life. And I ask all of you to please consider this carefully. I'm of the opinion that terminating human fetuses is unethical. I'm of the opinion that using this kind of technology, psychological warfare technology, is unethical. But these people believe that it's all acceptable in the service of the greater good as they define it. And of course, the greater good as they define it is often biased by their own self-interests. But the key thing, the reason why we cannot allow central planning, is because it will absolutely destroy the ability of the human species to adapt to changing conditions and to innovate. This is the argument against Malthusianism.
That's right. It destroys competition. And they know exactly what they're doing. And I want you to continue with that, sir. And the time we've got left, I want to talk about the elephant in the room, which is Donald Trump. But please continue.
Well, tell me about what you're thinking about Donald Trump, because right now I'm a little perplexed with Donald Trump's various statements about. I'm not an endorser of Bobby Kennedy. I consider him a friend. I think he's made a lot of great points. I think there's a lot of great positions that Mr. Trump has taken.
Well, I didn't mean to interrupt the incredibly important point we're making, but I'm famous for it. So I'm going to stop, finish your point, then I'll bring up Trump. But yes, I have made mistakes in 30 years on air, but never on purpose. I've never lied on purpose about any political issue. Maybe to my wife I've lied a few times, and so has she. But other than I'm honest about that, folks. But I never have moral struggles because it's so cut and dry. With Trump, I see him being persecuted. I see what's happening. I know he's better in ways, but I don't really like lesser than two evils. And he keeps promoting the damn shot. And so some days I come in here and almost just want to completely attack him. But then there's the paradox of Biden and all of that, even worse. And I'm like, okay, don't want to take arsenic or cyanide. Well, arsenic's better than cyanide. But
yeah, I'm with you. That's exactly the dilemma I'm in right now. And it is really unpleasant. We have two of the three candidates endorsing the jab and the technology.
Well, let's get back to that because I put the cart before the horse. Finish your point on globalism and this anti-human plan Harari. WEF. We're a post-human world. I mean, this is beyond Hitler. Hitler just wanted to kill certain groups, and that was bad. They're saying humans are crap, and it's all over officially. I mean, this is quite the declaration of anti-human.
This is a death cult. And I think the West, a good case could be made that the West is behaving basically as a group of suicidal or a suicide pact. All of this negativity and very dark planning, self-blame, the dissolving of and rejection of culture, of religion, of ethics, of any standard moral principles. This is all very, very dark. And it is all part of this same initiative to drive towards what is believed to be some noble future in which one can upload one's consciousness onto the web, live forever. This, again, this is yet another example of narcissistic behavior on the part of certain individuals, particularly a globalist ruling class, to try to find a way to become immortal and to live forever in a digital reality that they will have played a key role in creating, and denying all the fundamentals of what make us human. That's where this death cult is going.
And as you said earlier, everything they're doing is blowing up in their face, but they're so delusional, megalomaniacal, dreams of grandeur, narcissistic, they double down. That is, the immovable object comes into contact with the unstoppable force. That is going to be explosive.
And the question is, are people dumbed down enough at this point through the use of gaming and porn and all these other methods that are essentially making us numb and resulting in a culture that is unwilling to work, unwilling to confront the reality of what's being done to them, and in deep denial about what they've experienced and what is being deployed. And Alex, I got to tell you, I'm not really optimistic at this point from what I see. Except when I travel to some places, and Romania was one of them, the Romanians are actively resisting a lot of these initiatives. They are maintaining their own currency. They wouldn't give in to the vaccine pass or green pass initiative being pushed by the
European
Union.
Isn't that because they have a more recent memory of tyranny? We're almost like dodo birds.
Ceausescu. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of the former Soviet bloc countries have been a lot more sensitive and alert or awake to what's coming down. They can see it because they've seen it before. And they know that you have to say no. You have to resist. People think that this is a conspiracy theory, that this is overstated. No, we are in a war. We're in a war for your children, for your future, for your autonomy, for your ability to hold property. And we have to fight.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I've done a pretty good job letting you talk. This is one of the best interviews I've ever seen, and yours are all amazing. Please come on for a commercial-free hour or two in studio whenever you can, or on the weekend, because those are huge shows. We'll re-air it on the main show. But I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. We've got 12 minutes left to the end of the break, and so I'm just going to sit back. Maybe you can comment some on Trump. What do we do about him? Why won't he admit he's wrong? I know he didn't go as far as Biden, so I can halfway hold my nose. But nowhere in my life do I struggle morally about a question and have my conscience telling me. But then my conscience also says, but don't go for Biden because he's so horrible. And then I like RFK Jr., but I don't think he's going to win. Plus, he's got some issues. And so I want your take on that. And then whatever else you want to cover in the final 12 minutes, Dr. Robert Malone, it's been an incredible honor. Please complete the hour, and I would be very honored.
Thank you very much, Alex, and safe travels. I look forward to hanging out with you in person sometime in the future. So my thoughts on the current political situation in terms of the upcoming election, I am a supporter of Donald Trump. That's the truth. I also support some aspects of what my friend and colleague, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has to say. I applaud his courage for speaking out. I encouraged him to run because I believe that was the only way he was going to break through the wall of the press and their willingness and actions to try to defame and delegitimize him. And to a large extent, that's happened. The Tucker Carlson interview, for instance, was amazing and got huge traction. And his interview with Joe Rogan, of course, was amazing also. But Mr. Kennedy is fundamentally a Democrat, and he believes in a lot of the fundamentals of 1960s Democratic Party, the party of his father and his uncle. And a lot of those ideas are obsolete. They have been proven wrong. And I think we have Ronald Reagan to thank for a lot of that. My opinion of Mr. Biden is that he is absolutely incapable of governing, is not currently governing. And the autopilot policies that have been deployed during his administration are stunning. They have just ground the Constitution into the dirt. They don't seem to care about the Bill of Rights. And this administration seems to be playing a game of catch me if you can, combined with lawfare and a weaponized Justice Department. And if you need an example of that weaponization, you can look at the case of my friend and colleague, Dr. Peter Navarro, who's currently rotting in jail for contempt of Congress, their actions against Mr. Steve Bannon, their actions in particular against Mr. Donald Trump, but against virtually every major conservative that was involved in Donald Trump's administration. These are bad times right now. So there's no way I can support Mr. Biden or anything to do with the Biden administration, which brings us to Mr. Trump. And I think that it's a real dilemma. When Mr. Trump came out with his statement, President Trump, I should say, came out with his statement after Biden's State of the Union, in which Trump asserted that the vaccine was a great success. It's now going to be curing cancer, and took full credit for this and seemed to be kind of petulant over President Biden taking credit for the vaccine and that vaccine technology. I was really troubled by that because, like many conservatives, I've been hoping that President Trump would come to terms with what has transpired during the COVID crisis over the last 4 years and come to terms with the mistakes in his own administration, of which the vaccine was only one. But he seems to be doubling down on that. And a recent Truth Social post in which he attacked RFK Jr. for his positions on the vaccine really demonstrated that this wasn't just a short-term petulant response to Biden's State of the Union address. This is a deeply held belief by Mr. Trump that his success with Operation Warp Speed was one of the capstones of his entire administration. What a shame, because there's so many things that occurred in a positive way during the prior 4 years of Mr. Trump's presidency. And at this point, I still have to hope that we have another 4 years of Mr. Trump and his presidency. I think there's a lot of good that he can do. And I think that the trials that he's been through over the last 4 years of this Biden administration, the attacks, lawfare, weaponization against him, the raid on Mar-a-Lago, it just goes on and on. Wrap your head around what this guy has been subjected to. I find it stunning that Mr. Trump is able to withstand all of this crap that's been thrown at him. And so that says to me that he does have the intestinal fortitude to stand up to the administrative state. The question is, does he have the commitment to do so? Is he willing to really go to the mat? Because I don't hear him campaigning on a lot of things that I would expect him to be campaigning on, such as his actions previously in creating a whole new employment category, Schedule F, for federal employees so that they would be able to be fired. They could be treated more like at-will employees and be held accountable for their actions. I don't hear him campaigning on that, and yet it was one of the most significant things that he did, unfortunately, immediately overturned by Mr. Biden by executive order when he came into power. Is Mr. Trump, is President Trump willing to take on the administrative state? He talks the talk, but is he laying out a campaign platform items that will result in a smaller government, a government that has been reprimanded and acknowledges the fundamental nature of a federalist republic in which states have significant roles and rights? I don't hear Mr. Trump laying out policy positions that would be consistent with a reduced administrative state. And that is critical. I've heard him speak a little bit about defunding the World Health Organization. Is he willing to take on the United Nations? Is he willing to do the hard, heavy lifting that's going to be necessary in order to break us free from this really consortium of Marxists that has taken over the United Nations? Is he willing, really willing, to go to the mat with the World Health Organization? Is he willing to repatriate American industry? Is he still committed to making America great again? And what does that commitment really look like? That's what I want to hear. And I've kind of given up on my hope that I would hear Mr. Trump acknowledge the harms that were done by Operation Warp Speed by jettisoning all the rules and regulations and deploying these uncharacterized vaccines that now the data are demonstrating are associated with a major increase in all-cause mortality. Interesting, coming back from Romania, Romanians were among the few that refused to take the vaccine. They had very, very low vaccine uptake compared to the rest of Europe. And they also had the best outcome in terms of all-cause mortality. Now, that's pretty close to a smoking gun. So is Mr. Trump going to acknowledge what happened here? I doubt it. Is he going to learn from that and really try to hold the bureaucrats accountable? I hope so. Is he a better option than Mr. Biden? I don't see any doubt about that in my own mind and my own heart. Is he more experienced and skilled as a manager than Mr. Kennedy? Absolutely. And we need to have, as Steve Bannon puts it, a wartime president. So that's where I stand on Mr. Trump. And I wish he would come clean on the jab, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
I'm your guest host, Drew Hernandez. And I just want to come right out of the gate on this one. I mean, the entire world is watching. The entire nation is watching. And just directly to Christians worldwide across the entire landscape of the InfoWarrior family, like, this is a huge moment for the church in American history, where you have Congress coming out and literally making the Bible illegal. Okay, many are going to argue, oh, it's just it's imagery, or it's use of the Bible to slander Jews, or in any way, shape, or form of that. No, I would argue the ultimate end game is, and always has been, is to censor the church, is to censor Christians, it's to silence the gospel. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The ultimate agenda of Lucifer and the legions of demons that follow and take their orders from him is to carry out their orders of deception that lead to the destruction of human souls. And so I think that this isn't a surprise with the House GOP, by the way, majority, House GOP majority, passing the so-called anti-Semitism bill, and even these literally psychotic GOP congressmen that are pushing this thing, coming out and saying, oh, I'm so happy that we've been able to pass this because we're going to crack down on anti-Semitism. And I argue this is not only an assault on free speech. I take it a step further because I take this personal because I am a born-again Christian. And I know that the American church is so cucked out, and you have so many cucked out senior pastors, not all, that are afraid to lose their 501c3s, that have been absolutely hijacked their minds spiritually by Genesis chapter 12, where if you curse Abraham, God's going to curse you. Like, well, what does that actually mean? Does that mean that if you criticize Israel or you preach the gospel and you offend a Jewish person by calling them to repentance, are you cursing Abraham? Is God going to cut your salvation off forever as a Christian? Well, the answer to that is no, absolutely no, because the gospel message is faith in Jesus Christ, not faith in the state of Israel in order to gain eternal salvation and access to God forever. And let me make myself clear here. All the statements that I'm going to make in this transmission is not because I hate Jews, not because I hate Israel, not because I hate Israelis and I want them to be exterminated or I want to see their death. No. I am a Christian speaking as an American with the rights of free speech with a biblical viewpoint, because my main concern are the absolute destruction or the salvation of souls. And this twisting of doctrine that's been going on for hundreds, thousands of years is leading to the total damnation and destruction of the souls of mankind. This is a outright censorship of the Bible, because included in this House GOP passed bill is one of the classic anti-Semitic, they call, definitions. According to, well, it's the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, and the definition that they will be citing and operating by is the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, the IHRA. That includes, and we're going to break this down when we come back from the break, a full-scale assault against Scripture itself, not even the interpretation of Scripture, not even a bad interpretation of Scripture. Not even an opinion given on Scripture. No, simply reading passages, Mark, Luke, Matthew, and even including John, that all make clear statements that communicate gospel truth, the gospel message, and it's just the Bible, the God-breathed, inspired Word of God. Oh, and by the way, not just the New Testament. The Old Testament as well, that prophesied that would happen. Congress has launched a full-scale assault and war against the First Amendment and Christianity and the Bible and God. We'll be right back. I'll break it all down. The church has been hijacked. It's so clear. The church has been absolutely warped in the mind for thousands of years, hundreds of years, when it comes to this hardcore Christian Zionist doctrine, where the traditional Christian Zionist doctrine are so-called born-again Christians that believe that they have the ability to usher in the rebuilding of the Third Temple in Israel. They believe they have the ability to usher in the Antichrist. They believe they have the ability to usher in the second coming of Jesus Christ by manipulating world events and manipulating Israel and manipulating Jews as well. That's why you have them trying to raise a red heifer in Texas without blemish and sending it to Israel so they could rebuild their third temple and we can get these end times events going, guys. That's Antichrist within itself. Okay, end times Bible prophecy is not triggered by anybody, Christian, non-Christian. We don't have the ability to trigger these end times events. We within ourselves, that is not... Number one, I would argue as a Christian, that is not the Great Commission. That's not what the Bible indicates. It's not what Jesus commissioned the apostles and the disciples in Matthew chapter 28. So he commissioned them to preach the gospel, teach all things that he's commanded us to observe, baptizing disciples of all nations in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm paraphrasing. He'll be with you to the end of the age, correct? No, the church is not commissioned to establish the state of Israel. The church is not commissioned to blindly give billions and billions of dollars and military aid to the total destruction of humans in both sides of the region. You are funding as an American the state of Israel and their war effort. You are funding as an American Iran and their war effort, Hezbollah, Gaza, the Palestinians, where all of that money gets funneled into terrorist organizations. On top of Ukraine and the possibility of World War III sparking from any one of these regions. When it comes to Bible end times prophetic events, none of those events, whether it's Ezekiel 37, 38, whether it's the rapture, whether it's the Great Tribulation, whether it's the rebuilding of the third temple, whether it's the advent of the Antichrist, any of these things, there is no one on planet Earth that has the authority to say, well, now's the time. We're going to make this happen. No man knows the day or the hour. And if anybody believes that they actually do have that power, well, you're putting yourself in the position of God, because these end times biblical prophetic events, these would be classified under the sovereignty of God. That's why Jesus made it very clear that no man knows the day or the hour of his return. There's no human being that can claim, I can pinpoint a second, a millisecond, a day, a week, an hour, none of that. And this psychotic Christian Zionist doctrine, what I'm giving you is the traditional viewpoint. There are probably so-called Christian Zionists out there that don't even know that these are the origins of what they've been told to believe. Like, well, I don't believe that. Like, but that's what this whole thing is. And now it's leading to what Congress is doing now, where Genesis 12 has been totally weaponized against Christians, where I can't criticize an Israeli. I can't criticize the state of Israel. I can't criticize a Jewish person because God is going to curse me if I do that. I can't preach the gospel. I can't call a Jew to saving faith in Jesus Christ and repentance. Well, because I'm going to offend them. And that's anti-Semitic. So I can't say anything. Do you see how this is all coming to full fruition now? And listen, like I said at the beginning of the transmission, my bone to pick here is a theological one right here, because this theology does not add up to where we are right now with what the House GOP is trying to pull, which they did actually pull it. Now they're pushing it to the Senate. And part of this so-called Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, if you haven't seen by now, includes one of the definitions that they are using to enforce this, like I said, comes directly from the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. And one of the definitions are, well, anti-Semitism can include using the symbols and images associated with classic anti-Semitism, including claims of Jews killing Jesus. Like I said, my bone to pick here is a full-scale assault against the Bible, even before the First Amendment. It's the word of God over anything that is human, angelic, demonic, anything created therein. My main concern, yes, the First Amendment, this is a total full-scale assault against free speech. But the church, this is a, in my opinion, this is the forefront issue for me as a Christian. For me as a Christian, this is a full-scale assault on the word of God. Kiss Good Friday goodbye. Kiss Passion Week goodbye. Oh, the so-called GOP, we're a Judeo-Christian nation. Yeah, give me a break. Give me a break. They don't side with Christians. They don't side with the Bible. They don't side with any biblical doctrine. They don't side with God on any of this. They have flip-flopped on marriage, and they're even flip-flopping on abortion. They're starting to tone that down, because you have a bunch of cucks in Con Inc. that come out and say, we're losing elections because we're pro-life. We got to tone it down. You will lose everything for standing with God and his word in a fallen and degenerate and reprobate generation. You will lose everything. You will be stripped of all that you are, all that you have, but not his word and not your identity in Christ. The GOP is not what you think they are. And I know there's people out there that are just totally disillusioned. Listen, I'm going to tell you, there are so many self-identifying Christians that are totally disillusioned right now. They have no idea how to deal with this. Well, they're using the Jews. They're using Israel to silence any type of symbol or images associated with classic anti-Semitism that claims of Jews killing Jesus. Wow. What does your Bible tell you about that? Wow. You read the Gospels. You see that in Matthew. You see that in Mark and Luke and John. All indications of the religious Pharisees and the Jews of that day, not just the religious Pharisees, the common people in the old city Jerusalem. You guys remember when they were calling? When they were calling for his crucifixion? Those were just the townspeople. Those weren't just the religious Pharisees. Remember when Pontius Pilate came out, said, "Oh, we got Barabbas, we got this criminal. I can release a criminal to you. Which one do you want? Barabbas or do you want Jesus? Which one do you want? You want this criminal or this innocent man?" And what do they say? "Give to us the criminal. We want Jesus. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him." Those weren't just religious Pharisees, man. Those were the Jews of that day as well. And listen, like I said, I'm not saying this because I want people to hate Jews. I'm not saying this because I want people to commit violence against Jews. I'm saying this because this is biblical truth. Okay, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about this. It doesn't matter what your opinion is about this. And that's why I said earlier before the break that kiss Passion Week goodbye, dude. You won't even be able to read these passages. And also, this conflicts with the Old Testament as well. What do you think the main symbol is? It's the cross. It's the gospel message. It's God's inspired word that communicates this, which was prophesied in the Old Testament that led into the New. So the whole Bible, which is interesting, but right, the Orthodox Judaism doesn't believe that the Old Testament or the books of Moses leading into the prophets and the Psalms, etc., minor and major prophets, they don't believe that any of that is pointing to Jesus Christ. They deny that. They reject that. But it's still a full-on assault on Christianity and the Bible. Kiss Good Friday away when you're reading, when your pastor is reading you Isaiah chapter 53, when the Bible clearly indicates that it was the Messiah's own brethren. It was his own countrymen. It was the Jews. It was his own people that betrayed him and put him up to be murdered and crucified innocently. It's all prophetic. This is such an assault on gospel truth from the very beginning in Genesis. When the seed, right, will crush the head of the serpent. What does that mean? That is a total leading into the entire gospel truth throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament. Guys, church, if your pastor, okay, if you are in a church that is not even remotely concerned about this or even talking about it, well, your pastor is probably a cuck and a beta male coward. It's probably the same kind of guy that's, he probably tells you, don't get involved with politics, Christian, because that's divisive. Don't speak out for the unborn. Don't speak out for babies being slaughtered in and outside of the womb. No. Don't. Why do we need to speak out against gay marriage? It's 2024. Everybody's got to get with it. Come on. I know the Bible addresses it, but we don't want to get into that kind of territory. Oh, Genesis 12, don't you ever, ever criticize a Jew because God is going to curse you. All of this spiritual manipulation, taking the Bible fully out of context, it's to get people in this psychological imprisonment. And it's working. I guarantee you there are people that are seeing this. Like, wait, what do you mean? So I'm going to be I'm going to be called anti-Semitic if I just read the Bible, because the Bible clearly indicates that the Jews of Jesus' day and the religious Pharisees, they murdered Jesus. That's the gospel story, the gospel message. And it's not to say that to be like, well, I want to murder Jews, or we need to. No, it's just the truth. Just right there, the truth. And listen, I am not surprised by this. And don't get it twisted. I'm not playing some kind of victim here. I understand. The Bible is so clear. Anybody that desires to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is the ultimate end game. And this is why I've been so open about this on InfoWars, or if you guys watch me on any of my other shows, Drew Hernandez Live, rumble.com/Drew Hernandez. You guys can go find it or follow me on X at Drew H Live. You'll find all those links. And by the way, if you're just tuning in, share all the links. Share the broadcast everywhere. But this is a moment in church history. This really is a moment in church history. Pastors across the United States of America, they're being silenced right now. And not just silenced because the House GOP has lost their mind and they're using so-called anti-Semitism and the definition of the Bible itself that indicates that the Jews killed Jesus. I don't even have to have an opinion on that. Your pastor doesn't even have to add any commentary. Just the statement, the symbol alone, the biblical truth alone is now being censored. Yes, a violation of the First Amendment, but Christian, this is an assault on your faith. This is an assault on the church. Pastor, this is an assault on you. Where are you, shepherd? Where are you, shepherd? Are you warning the flock? Where are you? The apostles during the first century of the newborn church in the book of Acts, all of them dealing with who? Who were the first ones out of the gate to persecute the church? The Judaizers. These insane Jews that were going after Christians, the religious leaders. Remember when the disciples were preaching Christ in the public town square? And they come around and they say, stop preaching Jesus. Stop saying his name. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. And they go back. They say, you know what? We're going to obey God. We're going to obey God rather than man. We're going to keep preaching Christ. We're not gonna submit to these insane Judaizers. What do you think the Apostle Paul was? Saul of Tarsus. He was literally a Judaizing terrorist. That's what he was. He was hunting down and murdering Christians, and then had a come to Jesus moment on the road to Damascus. It's like the point is this is. The church has been so psychologically manipulated to never criticize Israel because Genesis 12, God is going to curse you. God is going to curse you. It's a spiritual deception to where now it's being used against you to where you can't even read the Bible. You can't even describe that gospel truth. And it's to silence you and destroy you. And I would argue that this is even destructive to unbelieving Jews. Because the gospel message is the only thing that is going to save the unbelieving Jew. The gospel is the only thing that is going to pull them out of the kingdom of darkness and the grips of Lucifer. The gospel is the only thing that is going to pull them out of the synagogue of Satan. That's it. And to silence that is a work of Lucifer. Because what did I tell you at the beginning of the transmission? The ultimate end game for Lucifer and this demonic globalist agenda, the ultimate end game is to deceive, to lead to the destruction of the souls of mankind. And so I would argue that this, censoring the Christian gospel message, from my biblical perspective, is even a total assault and destructive agenda against the unbelieving Jew. You want to talk about the destruction of Jews? You want to talk about the destruction of mankind? You want to talk about the destruction of Israelis? Well, wait till they die without faith in Jesus Christ, just like Gentiles. They will burn in everlasting damnation, outer darkness, weeping and moaning and gnashing of teeth. forever separated from God with no second chance. Total torment forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And if you as a Christian or you as a so-called pastor dare to disagree with this biblical point, shame on you. You're ridiculous. And you are siding with a demonic agenda. The Jews need Christ. They need to repent. They need to come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just like the Gentile alike. And to censor that is leading them to their destruction. So shame on your pastor if he is not warning you about these things. If you're in a church that is not sounding the alarm, but calls themselves a watchman. You know what I mean? It's like this. Well, where are the watchmen now? Where are the discerners now? This goes beyond an assault on the First Amendment. This is an assault on the Bible. This is an assault on the gospel. The ultimate end game is to deceive the souls of many, to lead them to their eternal destruction. That's the destruction that I'm concerned about as a Christian, for Jew and Gentile alike. But I guess the gospel's not enough, is it? The gospel's not enough for the modern day church. Just praying for the peace of Israel, that they would have peace with God and reconciliation with God by encountering the gospel message and submitting to it and becoming born again. I guess that's not enough for the Christian Zionist pastor out there, is it? No, that's not enough. That's not enough to bless Israel. You need to give them war and billions of dollars to murder and slaughter other Arabs in the region. No, you need to continue to funnel all that money, tens of billions of dollars, death and destruction while we bankrupt America. That's what we need. That's what we need. Your prayers are not enough. Your prayers for the salvation of the Jew, that's not enough. Satanic, my guy. Satanic. You see, now this is psychologically manipulating. Guys, this is psychologically imprisoning millions of evangelicals right now. I know it is. I know it is, because your senior pastor that has like this hard on for Zion that won't even hurt the feelings of a Jew, but by telling them they're wrong or issuing a rebuke with biblical truth, they don't even know what to say right now. They have no idea how to handle this, because it's been a psychological manipulation of the church for hundreds, thousands of years. Well, now the church has to deal with it. The church has been persecuted by Jews before. You think that can't happen again? Are you that retarded? Like, seriously, do you read the Bible and come to that conclusion after reading the book of Acts? I just read the gospel messages. Like, bro, this has been going on for a very long time. They even murder their own prophets. Read the Old Testament. It's a spiritual dynamic. That's what it is. And it's not to get you to hate Jews. That's not Christian, to hate individuals. You hate the sin. You hate the destructive nature. You hate Satan, hate Lucifer. No, we are called with love, with harsh rebuke, and calls for correction and calls to repentance. And like I said, I'm a Christian. My concern is the gospel. That at the forefront, that is the great commission that Christ has given me. As a Christian, as the church, as the body of Christ, my great commission is not to build or establish the state of Israel. My great commission is not to fund Israel with tens of billions of dollars to their own destruction, where Israelis and Jews die in the region without hearing the gospel at all and end up in hell forever. And same for the opposite with anybody else in the region, the Muslims or the Iranians, whatever, Hezbollah, they're all the same, right? The unbeliever. No, my main concern is the gospel, but I guess that's not enough. That's not enough for Christian Zionist America, isn't it? You want to talk about America? Talk about America last? Well, here it is. But you're not allowed to talk about this one, are you? Especially if you're a Christian in some kind of hardcore Christian Zionist church. Nope. Shut up. You're anti-Semitic now. It's like, no, I'm not. I've always, I've always given all my money and I never say anything bad, but well, now you can't even just read your Bible. You can't even read your scriptures. Will the Senate push this in? Probably. Why wouldn't they at this point? What do you think all these riots are for? What do you think all of these riots going on in these campuses are for? They are causing such a massive distraction to distract you from Trump's absolute popularity. He's more popular now than he's probably ever been. He's not perfect, but he's definitely more popular now than he's ever been. These strategic Soros-funded riots are distracting people from Trump's momentum, his popularity, from the actual election issues. Is anybody talking about the border anymore? Anybody talking about the economy? No. What is dominating all the news feeds right now? Israel, Palestine. Now there's riots at UCLA. There's riots at this college. There's riots at that college. That's what you need to pay attention to right now. Forget about what Biden's done to America. Forget about the destruction and invasion of your country and southern border. Forget about the Great Reset and the rise of inflation and that you're living paycheck to paycheck and you can't afford to feed your family. Forget about all the weaponized intelligence agencies. Forget about all of it. No, you focus on Israel and Palestine and the conflicts going on in the universities. I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying. These psychological operations are going to continue to advance and become more sophisticated. And now we're starting to see it. I got a lot more to say about this. I am not done. If you guys are watching on X, reshare this right now. Tag me in it. I'll repost it. We'll be right back. We went from Christ is King is anti-Semitic to the Jews conspired to kill Jesus pretty quick, didn't we? This happened a lot quicker than I thought it was. But I've been warning people on my shows that the ultimate end game is to censor the church. Why? Because we have eternal life. We have the gospel message that is the only message to save all of mankind and give them access to eternal life, to God, and the forgiveness of their sins. Now, of course, Lucifer knows this. This is Sunday school. I mean, so it makes total sense to me that it doesn't matter where it comes from. It doesn't matter where, I mean, whether it's coming from, well, it's anti-Semitic to say this about the Bible, or you're homophobic if you say this within the Bible, or you're a bigot if you say this within the Bible. It really doesn't matter. But the problem with now this, and this is why I'm addressing this so aggressively, is because the church has been hijacked. The church has been psychologically paralyzed. They don't even know what to do right now. I know there are probably thousands of pastors in America like, oh, we've supported Israel no matter what. We've always done this. We've always worshiped Israel. Oh, Genesis 12, how could they do this to us? How could they censor us from reading the Bible? How could this happen? Oh, my God. Because if you're not born again, you are open. You are an open vessel to being used by Satan, whether you're white, whether you're black, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Muslim, doesn't matter. Does not matter. If you are not born again, you are a open vessel to be used to persecute the church. This is why the church right now has no idea how to deal with this. They have no idea how to deal with this. Your pastor can't say, oh, well, yeah, it's against the First Amendment, but that's like a human entity. That's a human creation. So, like, of course that's going to be violated. Oh, what about this? This is a total assault on our faith. Where are the pastors? Where are the Christians? Where's the church? Now's your moment. Not just in Christian media or any Christians within media. I don't identify myself as like Christian media. I'm like a Christian within very secular media. Kind of like a different dynamic, but it doesn't matter. It's like, if you're born again, where is your voice? Are you afraid? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid of getting canceled? Are you afraid of being persecuted? Or are you afraid of being called anti-Semitic? Or go to my point. Or are you afraid of cursing Israel and God cursing you? What does that mean? Does that mean that you're going to become anathema? Which in Greek means cut off, excommunicated, severed. God is going to cut your salvation off. Is that the gospel? Huh? Is that the gospel message? Listen, dude, you don't even have to have an opinion on Israel. You don't even have to have an opinion or a thought on Jews. You could just be like a normie and you're like, yeah, man, this is a lot of money we're giving to Israel, I guess. And I can't survive, dude. Like, I would like rather save my money for my family. I mean, you know, like, sorry, we can't help them out, but it's like a homeless person on the street. Like, sorry, dude, I don't got enough money to help you right now because I got to provide for my own family. You could be that simple in the head, dude. And now you're an anti-Semite. Well, no, I'm not. I don't even have a thought. No, you are, because you don't want to give all that you have. No, you're anti-Semitic now, and you are cursing Israel. Genesis 12, you are cursing them because you are not willing to give all that you have to them so that they could establish their state and protect them because they're God's chosen people. You see how that's weaponized against Christians and humanity? You could literally just be a normie and not have a thought. Well, now all of a sudden you're anti-Semitic and you cursed Abraham. Oh, give me a break. Pipe down. Pipe down, bro. As if the Jews didn't curse their father Abraham themselves. Jesus even expounded on that in John chapter 6. He straight up told them, they're like, we're children of Abraham. What was his response? Like, no, you're not. If Abraham were your father, you would do the works of Abraham, which are what? Faith and obedience to God. That's why Jesus goes on to say, you know, you are of your father, the devil. He told the Jews that. He told the religious leaders that to their face. You want the Bible in context? Well, there you go, bro. He told that to their face, like, you are children of Lucifer. He's the father of lies and the origin of lies. His desires you want to do and carry out. That's why you're opposing me. You don't know who I am. God is not your father. My father is not your father. Because if he were, you would, A, you would know who I am, and B, you would accept me. But you don't. But you don't. Well, by the way, Jesus even took it a step further, and he told the Jews, he said, if you were of your father Abraham, actually Abraham looked forward to my coming. He knew that Messiah was coming. He knew that Messiah, that I was coming through his lineage. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. Why? Because Messiah came through that. It all comes down to Christ. It's Christ is king. It's worship Jesus Christ, not the state of Israel is king, and worship the state of Israel. That's a false gospel. So if I don't do that, God's going to curse me and I lose my salvation? I'll debate anybody on this point, dude. Is God going to curse me and am I going to lose my salvation because I don't want to support the state of Israel blindly? Is that what I'm doing? That's a false gospel, my friend, because the gospel is faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing and nobody else. Not the Jew, not the Gentile, not the state of Israel, not the United States of America. Faith in Jesus Christ alone. Anybody that's going to sit there and tell you that if you don't support the state of Israel, God's going to curse you. What does that mean? Curse, anathema, cut off, destroyed, lose salvation. You are not with God anymore. The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians actually said the opposite. What'd he say? He's like, if any human or an angel, if anyone brings you a different gospel than the gospel that we preach to you, let them be accursed. Whoa. It's actually the opposite, dude. I would take that to say, if anyone's telling you Genesis 12, you bless Israel, God will bless you. You curse Israel, God will curse you. You don't support them, with blind loyalty. No matter what, you are cursing them. God is going to curse you. You're going to lose your salvation. Anathema. Let them be accursed. That's the Christian standpoint right there. That is the biblical standpoint right there. Any man, any angel, anybody, doesn't matter, bringing you a different gospel other than the one we brought you, let them be accursed. Accursed. Cut off. Christians are going to have to deal with this now, because now the House GOP is clearly pushing this. And this is a full-scale assault against the Word of God, which, like I said, is not a surprise. It's not a surprise. Not a surprise at all. You should not be sideblinded by this, but many are, because it's coming in the context of literally their golden calf. The Christian Zionist golden calf is literally the state of Israel. Like, they worship the state of Israel more than they worship Jesus Christ himself. Literally, I guarantee you there's probably people right now all over, wherever you're watching me on X or Rumble or wherever, in the comments like, oh, don't you realize what you're saying? You sound like a total anti-Semite. God is going to curse you. He's going to curse you. Pipe down. Calm down, buddy. What does your Bible say? Not what your hardcore Christian Zionist so-called pastor told you. You see what these people do? I got a lot more to explain when we come back from the break. Do not go anywhere. Share the links. All right, guys, we are back. You are now watching the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Drew Hernandez. I want to invite you guys to check me out on my own nightly show, Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Drew Hernandez Live. Go to rumble.com/Drew Hernandez or just open up the Rumble app. And in the search bar, search Drew Hernandez. I'm the only verified one with the little green verified badge next to my name. And also follow me on X at Drew H Live. Make sure to always support the broadcast. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Take advantage of all of the great products to fund the operation and fund the InfoWar against the globalist New World Order and the censor Luciferians, okay? So make sure that you guys keep InfoWars alive. Go make some purchases at InfoWarsStore.com right now. If you need to re-up, now is the time to do it. All right, continuing this conversation with this insanity of this full-scale assault. You want to talk about an InfoWar? The ultimate information is the gospel message. The ultimate information that needs to be transmitted to every single human being on planet Earth is the gospel message. Okay? Eternal life or eternal death and destruction, where you don't cease to exist. It's eternal torment forever. Hangs in the balance with this message. That's why it's good news. Because it's good news that we do have forgiveness of sins. It's good news that we can have peace and reconciliation with God. It's good news that we can have eternal life. It's good news that all of our criminality in the eternal heavenly courts forever before God, all of the laws that we've broken can be expunged and forgiven forever by the blood of Jesus Christ and because of his sacrifice on the cross, his life, his death, betrayal, his crucifixion, his burial and his resurrection and his ascension. All of these gospel truths, which what now the House GOP is now pushing, that they are going to censor, that they are going to designate anti-Semitism. And by the way, I'm going to say this as well. If you are like a self-identifying Jew by race, but you're born again, right? I know there's a lot of debate as to whether this is, you know, legitimate or not. But if that's how you identify, but you're born again, you're like, but I still identify as Jew by race, right? There's a lot of people out there that identify this way. Where are you? And you don't agree with this? And you think this is an assault on biblical truth? But you have this worry where, well, this is going to make Jews look really bad. This is actually going to cause some anti-Semitism. This is actually going to lead to a bunch of really hostility against Jews. Well, then where are you then? You need to stand up. You need to speak up. Hey, not only because this is a full-on scale assault against the First Amendment, but this is a full-scale assault against gospel truth. Okay, don't expect to be viewed in good light, okay, when you are being used and or you are participating or you're in agreement with a full-scale assault against Christianity. Where are you? And at the same time, to all of these so-called Christian pastors out there across the United States of America, if you are not concerned with this and you are not being a watchman, those are the, you know, these the favorite terms that come from these people. If you are not sounding the alarm to your congregation, then you are keeping them psychologically imprisoned and you are partaking in a full-scale assault and persecution of the Christian church if this continues to roll out. Because at first they were saying, oh, the Daily Wire and all these retards over there, oh, to say Christ is king is an anti-Semitic trope. Well, now we're at to say that the Jews conspired to crucify Christ and Jesus, which is indicated in the Bible in multiple places, prophesied in the Old Testament, carried out and documented in the New. So you will literally have to throw out the entire Bible. Does that not sound demonic to you? What are you afraid of? Oh, I'm going to be called an anti-Semite. I'm going to curse Israel and God's going to curse me. No, that's not the gospel message. Your salvation is not dependent on whether you are supporting the state of Israel or not. Your salvation is dependent on whether you have faith in Jesus Christ or not. I really hope that people are waking up to this because it really is a psychological, spiritual deception and imprisonment that people need to wake up from. And you know what? I could already anticipate it. I could already hear it. There will be pastors out there and there will be these cucks that claim to be Christians. I'm so sick of this. There will be cucks out there that are like, well, you know, Genesis 12, we can't curse Israel. These are the end times. You know, Jesus said it would be bad like this, so we just got to put our tail in between our legs and let it happen. I mean, this is an indication. Can't you see, Drew, that the rapture is imminent? Can't you see, Drew, that the seven-year tribulation could initiate at any moment and the second coming of Jesus? Can't you see, Drew, that this is the writing on the wall? Yeah, there's a lot of Bible prophecy formulating, but no man knows the day or the hour. Christ can come back in 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, 5 months, 5 years, or another 500 years. We are called to preach the gospel, Ephesians chapter 5, not to partake in unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, including this weaponization of so-called anti-Semitism that is clearly targeting and silencing the gospel and silencing the Bible in its entirety. You can't get away from this. You can't wiggle out of this. All these hardcore little Christian Zionists out there that are afraid to speak out against Israel or Judaistic hostility against the gospel. This has been going on since the inception of the church. You know what? You know what? I'll say this for all these people that have such a hard on for Zion out there. You know what? Take the Bible Lands trip. Take the trip. Go. Have your pastor take you. Go take a missions trip. And you know what? When you take the Bible Lands trip, you know what I want you to do? When you get to the old city, Jerusalem, you know, skip the Christian court. Skip the Muslim courts. Go to the Jewish court. And you know what I want you to do when you get there? Start preaching the gospel. And you know what? You don't even have to preach it openly. Just start evangelizing. And also go to the Wailing Wall too. Go to the Wailing Wall, right? And start sharing your faith with some of these Orthodox Jews. And then when you're in the Christian and when you're in the Jewish court, start preaching it openly. You and your pastor, you and your blinded Zionist pastor, I could never speak out against a Jewish person. God forbid we call, God forbid we issue rebukes or correction or criticism. God forbid that we ever do it. God is going to curse us. Oh, my tail is in between my legs. I'm such a cuck. Go, take the trip. Watch what happens. Film it too. Film it too, and we'll see if you still have the same opinion. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you start getting persecuted by these people for your faith? That's the question. Whether you go and you do what I just said in Israel, or whether now you're having to deal with this and experience it. And like I said when I began the transmission, I am a Christian. And my viewpoint here is not that I want people to hate Jews or assault Jews or commit acts of violence against them. My Christian viewpoint is that this is a full-scale assault on the Bible, on the gospel, on the only truth that has the ability to save even the Jew if they fully repent, which they can, but that's up to them, just like the Gentile. To silence this message is to lead them to their destruction as well. Not even giving them the opportunity to hear it. And if there are going to be cucks in this country, I mean, the GOP is not your friend. Now is time to pick a side. And I've been saying this for years now. Pick a side. Division over Christ is inevitable. There is no middle ground. There is no milquetoast fence sitting. It's either Christ or it's Lucifer. You pick one. And you choose. And yes, there will be division for siding with Christ, because there will be division because we have no commonality with Luciferians. And if you do, and you somehow think you can attain that and accomplish that and achieve that, well, you're insane and you're deceived. Submit to Christ. Christ is King forever.